representation from Go, and we have SITA and ECF, and then we have committee visit. That is the process. We're hoping to be done here sooner rather than later. So let's hand over to Paul. Yeah, that's committee business afterwards. So I said we will see Paul, then we will see CISA, then we'll see DCF, then we'll do committee business, which is a very short set of minutes, and then a report back on so that'll be arising from
okay.
from last 6 minutes. Okay, sir.
Good morning, honorable members. Thank you. This presentation will focus on the analysis of the state of the national press delivered on the 14th of February 2013. At the joint sitting of both NA and NCOP. We recall that the president in his address paid attention to five priorities, namely education, health, fight against crime, creating decent work, as well as land reform and rural development. Chairperson, again, the SONA 2013 it must identify any specific issue regarding correctional services. However, a number of issues which cut across various departments and have relevance to Department of Correctional Services can be identified, and among them include the fight against corruption, filling of vacancies in the upper echelons of the criminal justice system, focusing on the fight against corruption. We are aware that the President raised the issue of the fight against corruption as a priority of government since 2009. This is an acknowledgement that corruption is a problem in our country and government is taking corruption seriously. In the ANC January 8 statement, President Zuma stated that corruption is the enemy of development and is diverse resources meant for the poor. The President also urged the private sector to take the fight against corruption seriously so that it can be tackled from all angles. So this means corruption is not only the issue of public sector, but the private sector as well needs to play a role. In the 2012 research analysis of SONA, acknowledged initiatives by DCS to fight corruption, and a number of initiatives include the establishment of the Department Investigation Unit and the implementation of the Fraud Fraud Prevention Plan. The anti-fraud and corruption capacity of DCS has resulted in the department being rated as the third most efficient of 85 departments which were audited by the Department of Public Services and Administration in the 2019 report. And this has resulted in 90% conviction rate of officials found guilty of corruption and an amount of 2.5 million was recovered from the 4.5 million deaths by 72 officials of DCS found guilty of destroying the department's medical aid scheme. I think DCS needs to be commended for this achievement. Reported cases of corruption, fraud, and bribery reported in the Department of Correctional Services. The graph there shows that in 2009 and 10, there were 87 cases reported. 2010-11, the number doubled to 172. In 2011-12, the number went down to 152. as mentioned previously, Chairperson, it's not enough to only have reported cases, but it's also significant to see how some of these cases have been finally disposed of. The JCTS cluster delivery agreement of outcome 3, which is all people in South Africa, are and will say, it states that the anti-corruption measures have not resulted in speedy prosecution and conviction of corrupt persons involved in corruption, and this in a way leads to the perception that there is a lack of will to deal with corruption. You'd be aware that President Zuma, on the other hand, mentioned that 107 officials working in the criminal justice system were convicted in the past financial year. It is therefore important, Chairperson, that the DCS ensures that all corruption-related cases are not only handled internally, but I think it's also important that all these cases should be referred to relevant authorities for further investigation and prosecution. You would also be aware that somewhere last week, the Minister of Justice and Constitutional Development mentioned that in the next coming few weeks, they will publish the names of all officials convicted of corruption in the media. That's the name and shame. And I think that will have a positive impact in terms of the would-be offender. Honorable members, the President stressed the importance of the National Development Plan, NDP, in the State of the Nation address. The NDP Vision 2030 talks about the fight against corruption in Chapter 14. A number of areas for policy implementation are highlighted in that chapter, and one of them is building a resilient and independent anti-corruption system that enjoys both public and official support. A number of specific actions are also proposed in this policy priority, and among them includes the strengthening the multi-agency anti-corruption system. Here we talk about agencies which are mandated to deal with corruption, i.e. your special investigation unit, you are the public protector, the auditor general, the IP, and the directorate of private crime investigation. Now, the plan proposes that the present system should be retained as they support independence, insulating institutions from political pressure and interference. Now, the plan proposes that these agencies require sufficient specialist staff and resources, also need special legislative powers, and also the improvement of information sharing and coordination and the independence. Also, the plan talks about the strengthening the protection of whistleblowers. Here, the plan acknowledges that the Protected Disclosure Act 2000 provides some form of protection for whistleblowers. But now, the plan does not, Protected Disclosure Act, according to the plan, it does not go far enough to protect the whistleblowers. And some of the weaknesses which were identified include the narrow scope of protection contained in the law, the limited range of bodies to which the disclosure can be made. Now, the plan proposes or recommends that the scope of protection under the Protected Disclosure Act be expanded to include those outside the traditional employer-employee relationship, and also to protect the physical and economic security of whistleblowers, and also to strengthen the capacity of those institutions. Also, the plan proposes that centralizing the award of large tenders or tenders of long duration. The plan notes that the procurement laws have become increasingly complex, and implementers of those procurement laws are often unclear regarding their obligations and how to comply with them. Now, the plan proposes that a review of procurement procedures, a tight system of review for tenders depending on the value. And the last section which the plan proposes that there should be greater teeth to the tender compliance monitoring office to investigate both corruption and value for money aspects of the tender. Now, what are the implications for DCS in terms of this recommendation from the NDP? Firstly, I think DCS needs to strengthen the internal promotion of culture of whistleblowing within the department. Secondly, DCS needs to ensure that all identified cases of corruption are forwarded to relevant external agencies for further investigation and prosecution, which is something that I've highlighted earlier on. And lastly, to tighten internal control, especially over procurement. The State of the Nation Address also talked about filling of vacancies in the upper echelons of the criminal justice system. You'll be aware that the issue of vacancies have troubled the Department of Correctional Services for quite some time, especially at all levels. The overall vacancy rate of DCS decreased from 15.3% in 2010-2011 to 3.3% in 2011-12. Now, at senior management level, there was lack of stability, especially since 2008, as a result of resignation and suspension of senior management, senior managers. In 2011-12, DCS reported that there was improved stability within the executive as well as senior management echelons in general, and a number of vacant senior positions were filled in 2011-12, which include regional commissioners, Eastern Cape, the State Northern Cape, Gauteng, Limpopo, Mpumalanga and Northwest. Deputy regional commissioners, Eastern Cape and Gauteng were filled. Positions of Chief Deputy Commissioner, Corporate Service and GISO were filled. Positions of Area Commissioners, Pretoria, Durban, Wazir, Johannesburg and Coldmore were filled. Deputy Commissioners, HR, Employee Relations, Communication, Internal Control and Compliance were filled. Chief Audit Executive was appointed. And we also noted the appointment of the Chief Executive Officer of the Office of the Inspecting Judge. And now, at the end of 2011-12, vacancy rate within senior management level stood at 19.2%, with 208 position posts, of which only 168 were filled. And in addition, you remember the Chief Financial Officer of DCS, Mr. Sipiwe Sokela, terminated his services within his department with effect from 13 November 2012. Now, the table on the screen shows the positions and vacancy rate in terms of top management and senior management, and also contract employees both for top management and senior management in DCS. The table shows the full-time and contract DCS employees, and for 2011-12 there were 16 permanent employees in top management of DCS and only one person on contract at the same level. For senior management, there were 152 permanent positions, permanent employees, and 14 contract employees at the same level. The Portfolio Committee on Correctional Services can consider the following issues. The committee should look at the capacity of departmental investigation units of DCS and its structure, and where all members of the unit are vetted or not, because this is an important function. We hope that all the members who are in that particular structure are vetted. I think the committee has been raising concerns regarding vetting of officials of DCS particularly. This unit deals with investigation of corruption and bribery and so on and so forth. I think it's only logical that members who operate in that unit should be vetted. The committee should also ask DCS to report on measures in place to increase the culture of whistleblowing within the department and ensure additional protection for whistleblowers. The committee should also monitor progress on all reported cases of corruption in the department The portfolio committee should request DCS to provide the committee with outcome of the finalizations of all reported cases of corruption for 2009-10, 2010-11, and 2011-12. The committee should also inquire whether there were any criminal cases registered with the South African police services involving corruption, because it's of no use to only have those cases dealt with internally, because we're saying we are serious about the fight against corruption. So we need to send a strong message and ensure that all these cases of corruption are also reported to external relevant agencies for further investigation and possible prosecution of those offenders. The committee should also request DCS to provide the committee with a fraud prevention plan of DCS. The committee should also ask DCS about the position of all contract workers at top management as well as senior management, and how long are those contracts, because we've seen on the table there was one person in top management on contract position, and I think 14 people at senior management level on contract positions. Why are those people on contract, and for how long those particular contracts? And lastly, the committee should probe measures in place to retain top and senior management in DCS. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Paul. Members, that presentation really is intended to arm the committee. So if members want to ask questions, it's really about clarity or to add to, because it's really for all of us. Now, clearly, for some of the things that I think the committee should be aware of, or that you should put in your document. The President speaks about education being the apex program. You don't talk about education here, and clearly it's one of the areas that I think the committee must focus on. If the Minister is talking about education, surely we should be able to follow it up and make sure that if he's talking about education, then we should be seeing things like more teachers or the attention of teachers, that type of thing that I think that is missing here. Also, when you talk about the National Development Plan, that plan is centered around a capable state. And a capable state means officials that are doing what they're supposed to be doing. I don't think that you put in it in. And an example is, if members of DCS are doing business with DCS, are businessmen rather than DCS officials, the committee needs to do something about it. Otherwise, the state of the nation is meaningless. So it's those types of things that I think we should be adding to this document, so that it can be a working document for us. But also members have added. Really, at the end of the day, we're trying to build some sort of a compass member that we should be using or referring to every now and then, over and above what employers already put in. But if members feel there's stuff that is put in that should be in, you can raise it so that we can take it out. It can't just be a top-shop employer. It must be something that we will use for the next 12 months, because the state of the nation, by the way, is a comment planner for the next 12 months. So let's open it up to members. Do you think that there's something that can strengthen or something that detracts? Advocate. And then Mamuni. And then Paliso.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I was just checking. We are dealing with filling of vacancies with regards to top management, senior management. But, you know, if you look at your core functions, immediate core functions, with regard to your nurses and your artisans and psychologists, you know, and your measures against the understanding currently with the document which we are going to deal with, then I can't see the under expenditure with regard to them. Then they've got proper excuses for this underspending. It can't be tolerated. I mean, you know, the other day when we visited the Groenpunt, you are embarrassed to use the dents, you know, because the windows are out. Everybody sees you inside. And that can be fixed by artisans. And I mean, this is disastrous. You know, this department, I don't think they are still in ICU. It needs a lot to be done. But I think that is critical. We tend to talk about the top leadership. But A at ground level, where the need is that that appointment should be forced as well. Thanks.
Mangalya.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, in terms of the 5 points that the President has talked about on the corner, on education, I believe, Chairperson, that the department also must explain to us, because I believe that we've got a lot of things that is good that have happened in correctional phase. For example, on January, we had the Westville prison, whereby there's classes there, there's teachers there, there's library there, there's students there. The one that when we go to oversight, we ask that we must get the parole because we wanted to write the exam. That juvenile have passed matric with 4 distinction. And good things that is happening in correctional that was not mentioned. But I think that is the fault of the department to submit what the correctional is doing. There's a lack of submission. I don't know, Jay. But that's how I think. It's not to say correctional service is not doing a good thing. But what the correctional service needs to do is to strengthen the education in correctional service. In terms of rehabilitating the inmate by improving the centers to have a classes, to have a professional teachers. That what the department is lacking is to get those professionals to come and teach in our center. In terms of health, the same thing, Chapter 6, I think we've seen this song long time. But nothing is improving in terms of health in the correctional field. We are not yet getting enough doctors. When you go to oversight, nationally, you'll go to the center, they'll tell you that you've got one doctor. For the doctor that is saving more than 3,000 people, one doctor. We've got two nurses. So there's a lack of professionals in correctional field. I think that one says we need to ask a question before to the correctional department. In terms of protest, I would like to thank you for about this information, and maybe other members will add. But there's no question that I can ask on the presentation of people, because when I read it, I find that is guiding us, is assisting us as employees, the researcher of this committee, on the things that maybe we need to take up as a committee. I will stop there, that most of the questions that need to be asked or clarified, if the department needs to clarify the question of correctional service concern, that why there was nothing that come out from a correctional service. If the department that must answer that question. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Ma'am Felisa?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think Honorable Ngwenya said it all, that I wish there was a fly in the class, cabinet class meeting, where the minister has plastered. One sense that, according to the analysis of the researcher, there is not much information given in cluster meetings to inform the president, so that the president can also inform the nation what is the program in terms of correctional service. Mm-hmm. If you look at page 4, guilty officials, really, DTS, when we go to overtime change, my analysis is that there is a moral breakdown in officials of DTS. We need to also talk to that they are human beings. There is a moral breakdown, and nothing there is no program in place so far as we have gone to oversight that give us an indication that there is a work in progress or a program that plans to assist the moral values of the officials. And that is why we are confronted with this bribing and corruption of DCS. And I think we did talk to this in the budget vote 2 years ago. And we continuously remind the department, give us also a program that is responding in a programmatic way to strengthen yourself, because you are working with people who have wronged society, and some of them are really hardcore criminals who are stereotyped that don't want to be rehabilitated. So speaking the truth, you must look at both sides. Really, the analysis also gives us an insight of how we must look to the strategic plan of the department, because the strategic plan of the department must talk to SONA, because that is what Mkomba Dela, that the president has given the country, meaning the department has to fall through. So to us, it's a question of we will see and be able now to analyze much easier at ease according to what the research has given. Speaking of corruption units of the officials, it's a song that Mama, the late Mama Nyanda, may her soul rest in peace, has sung until her grave about the vetting of the officials of DDS. And there is no appetite of really a response that gives us an indication, even from the top level, that there is appetite to do this. There is no appetite in DDS to do that. So the call from SONA about corruption, I don't know how are we going to be successfully seeing the light of the day in DDS that it is going to be implemented according to what the president has given us, the line of march. Again, although we have to applaud them, I really don't think I will applaud DDS. Because what they have done here at page 4 of the amount of that is recovered from the 4.5 million debt is just to close our eyes and give us, you see, that damage the children have, that sweet damage. It's something like that. At least they want now to capitalize on this, that this is what we have done. It's not. There is a damage, because they are supposed to correct its corrections. They are supposed to rehabilitate, and as Honorable Mayor correctly stated, that there is funding that they have not spent, but they are not rehabilitating enough. There is no, their education system is not really in place. It's also just a question of giving us, at least we are doing something. It's not enough, and if we want really to look at this vision of the National Development Plan of 2030, if we want to achieve what we say in the NDP, then we have to start really doing something, not that we want to do this and we will do this. This is the program and that is how we will address it. It's not enough. The institutional memory is also very important, Chairperson, because people are just shifted. That's why I'm talking about the moral values of the officials. It's that shift in the department and not looking at the very institutional memory that needs to be maintained in some of the units. I think that is where there's also one weakness of DCS that they refuse to listen to us as a portfolio, because we always have a cry out about institutional memory and they keep on shifting people to the wrong unit or every wish, and sometimes people even use this DCS because they can't just cope with the stress and the pressure that they get there. But the investigation unit, those officials, we will stress it with DCS, and thank you for pointing that out, that really we can't have an investigation unit of officials that are not vetted. Then it means we also allow corruption to go ahead and to have a nest that is never going to be addressed by any government, whether it's us, whether it's people who will come after us after 2040. Nobody will address this if we do not stress that we want to see evidence of investigation units that are clean people who are vetted. They are relevant people. Otherwise, we will not be happy or approve that this is the right way to go if we are going just to be a yes board or yes and a committee of DCS. Let me call that. Thank you, Professor Mavlev. I would like to thank you both for the nice, respect document that you have presented to us. I have only two questions. The first one would be from Paul on the filling of vacancy calls. As I speak here, in top management, we're able to fill up 185 calls. But I see there's no gender balance. They've recruited more males than females. So I just want to know the current status quo of the top management, whether it is like that or it's only the new recruiters, that the way I see that there's no balance, if maybe can explain this. Then the second one is on the officials themselves of the department. You still remember that when we implemented, they cited the fact that it was being so because of the oversight incentive that is still outstanding. So we need to ask that question maybe to DCS whether when are they going to implement this, because it has been long recommended by the committee that should be paid up. Maybe we should ask that too. Thank you.
Thank you, Jefferson, and thank you very much to Paul. Jefferson, I'm very worried about internal control of procurement over procurement, because when we deal with these matters and then we don't have a CFO and CFO just will run immediately and leave, that means there's a problem that is going on. And secondly, Chairperson, I don't know, we have discussed this thing that why is the department not mentioning it, the SONA. Most of the time, this is the 10th year we have talked about it.
Good morning. Continue, Bob.
Why we have discussed about a lot of these things before, but it only comes back to us every now and then. And lastly, Chairperson, my problem of Chairperson and being.
We have anything in progress to be as much as possible. Continue.
Chairperson, when we talk about internal control and enemies, we find that some of the things are happening within the department itself. Then we find it very strange how we are going to deal with it, because we are dealing with the person who's supposed to be the worker of these things and so on. But those are people that are involved in this. Now, that's where I have a problem. How are we going to manage it? How are we going to deal with it? I really don't know. I think we have to find a plan how we're going to deal with it properly so that we are able to tie it down and be able to move forward. Because if you have those vacancies on top, and there is this lot of criminal activity that is taking place in general, and then you find it very hard how you are going to deal with it, because there are so many things that are happening and you will never know who is who, because the wedding itself compounds the problem, because the wedding itself means that there are people who are supposed to be in the position who are not supposed to be in the world of position. Then you end up not knowing as they go. That's the problem I have, because we have discussed about this very issue and so on and so forth. I really don't know how we're going to spin it out. But we must thank you, because you've raised these issues every now and then.
most of the ceremony is not on Sona. We have raised this issue of Ramadan. We will keep on raising Ramadan until we catch the issue ahead of the meeting. Thank you.
Yeah, let's talk on closing. I'm apologizing. We're going to have a practice of venue, but we're going to have to find a way. I will call the Lisa in a more appropriate venue, but we will deal with that just now, just wrapping up the first part of our agenda. And Paul, I think what members have contributed is also must add to your report. You don't have to respond.
Yeah.
Clearly, the issues around education. Clearly the issues around education and health, you need to strengthen your report by talking to the infrastructure and also the resources, the retention and also the attraction of teachers and nurses, and how does the department hope to retain them if we are really going to reach this capable state we're talking about. You also need to start talking about, at least in this document, talk about the well-being. When I say the well-being, We cannot have a case of the state if department officials are either colluding with and or are demoralized. So you need to talk about the state of the stuff in our documents, and you will raise it at every opportunity. You need to also talk about the instability in this department in terms of the institutional memory that members are speaking about, so that it becomes part of our daily questioning of the department. And of course, then finally, the members are talking about just the capacity of this department to control itself internally, whether it's internal order, whether it's their DIU, do they have the capacity, are those people that are there people that are themselves clean? So just raise all those things in our document, and that will become our Bible going forward. I hope you remember that that is it, and once and for has reached the document, we will recirculate it, and members can use that document as their day-to-day correspondence. That deals with the first part of our agenda. The second part of our agenda is, first of all, welcome to our colleagues from BCS and to our colleagues from CETA. We are to engage today with the financials, and we've asked CETA Auditor General to be part of our standard, and Treasury where they are available. I would assume Treasury won't be here today because they've got a big day this afternoon, but they normally are here. Cindy indicates to me, and we agreed to it, that she had asked us to do the first part of the presentation. So we are going to ask you to break for about 5 minutes, so that we ask those from Sweden that are going to be speaking to also get to the front, and Commissioner, your people that might be responding to CETA to be here. But others might not be involved directly with the CETA part of it. We'd ask them just to give space to CETA and to the department that would involve. CETA then have asked to be released, which is fine. Immediately we're done, CETA can leave. But we will have our first to CETA, and we are therefore requesting that those from CETA that will be in the forefront, just side yourself closer to the table, and some of our DTS colleagues will come here once you've left. We can just break for 3 minutes so that we can just do this. And then once again, let's apologize. Parliament doesn't have sufficient venue that are able to handle so many people, but together with Cindy, we will try and make sure that our quarterly are in a more appropriate venue come the future. But for this one, please bear with us. So if we can break for 3 minutes and start our colleagues from CETA that are directly involved to be here, and Commissioner, you and your guys, one or two of you can stay here. Can we have a 2 minute break just to allow this to happen? Thank you.
Okay, cool. No problem.
Correctional Services is a catering institution. Correctional Services is an educational institution. Correctional Services is a health institution. Correctional Services is a security institution. Now all those things that I've mentioned can never survive without reliable IT. Not in South Africa or anywhere in the world. Just cannot. And we are worried, Peter. And DCS, that there doesn't seem to be meaningful progress that is being made. And really, ours is to ask why. Ours is to ask why. Is there no meaningful progress being made in just in the IT instance? There are many other members who raise that, but just in the IT instance, because we believe that that is the bedrock, the foundation, the platform for us to do everything else correctly. So really that is what it is, and we are very serious about it. Just to remind you that we had asked DCS and the CETA in our last interaction in September, we had asked you to come back and explain the 90 million rand IT spend and the solutions, give us a report on that. And not necessarily today, but you should have given to us before. Not sure if we've received that. Indeed, if we have, then I have not seen it. You were asked to come back and talk to us about the RDOMS, I think that's remand detention system or platform. Again, we asked you to give us some feedback or talk to us today. I have not received feedback. So please talk to us today about it. There was the whole issue around Logos, and of course the whole idea of the outstanding 34 million rand that can't seem to be resolved between CETA and DCS. And it seems to be the elephant in the room, because DCS is not getting the service because you are owing the money. DCS is saying we can't pay you that money because you don't give us support documents for that money. And we specifically ask that you guys have meetings. So that when you come here, you're able to say to us, we've met five times, we've resolved it, we found the support documents, or we've done whatever we need to do. So we need you guys to talk to us on those four outstanding matters specifically. Let me remind you, RDOM, the 34 million, I think it's the figure that 34 million debt, it's the Logan, and then of course, as I indicated earlier on, the IT solutions around about 90 million rand that are being. Well, let's talk about IT solutions for the department general. So we're going to hand over to you, CETA, to give your presentation. We'll ask you, Commissioner, or your team, to supplement their presentation after CETA has done it. Then we'll open it up to members to do the real interrogation. Is that in order? So you'll have the first bite, Commissioner, you'll have the second bite, then we will interrogate it. And I am assuming there is a presentation that you've given us. Over to you, sir.
Honourable Chair, my name is Jerry Lagazi. I'm the newly appointed Chair of the State IT Agency. Our company is the advocate compared to one of the board members recently appointed to the board of state. And together with us, we have the CEO, Mr. Blake Mosley Patel, who is leading the executive team that is directly involved in the project. What we are going to do, thanking you for the opportunity this morning to making this presentation, I will ask the CEO to take over and lead us through the process, and we will then make the presentation and take questions.
I'm sorry, we normally just assume that it's the same team, but maybe we should ask members to introduce themselves again so that we know. I mean, we're not aware that there were changes in the board, for instance. We do know that all PVM have moved on. We know that in another capacity. So formally, maybe you must introduce yourself, because we get minute takers here and we have people that are not necessarily aware of it. So can we ask you, sir, to introduce yourself again, Jerry, and your team? Of CETA, DCS, very much we know, and then we'll introduce ourselves, so that also you know who we're talking to. So tomorrow if you get a letter from somebody called himself, you can marry the face to the name, or Vincent Makakura, you can marry the face to the name. Can teachers just introduce themselves, and we'll ask Merit to introduce themselves.
My name is Idris Madejwani. My name is Advocate Idris Madejwani, and I'm an alternate member of the Sixth Board.
My name is Jerry Bilalazi. I'm chairman of the board of the
Blake Motley, Atula, CEO of the
Board. Good morning, my name is Apple.
My name is Bob Kenton. This is my name, Customer Service Management.
My name is Leon Shoda, Account Manager.
Any other future representatives here? Just step forward if there are any, otherwise can we start with Mr. Abra?
We do have other CETA representatives. We've got Mabuhi Den Ochozi, the stakeholder relations management, divisional head CETA. And then also Tanya Abramsa, who is the parliamentary officer for CETA. Thank you very much.
Mr. Abram?
Hi, thank you, President. The name is Salam Abram, a member of this portfolio committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think I'm going to go for a poll and do
it. Hi, my name is Jack. So?
I'm Bennett Metz, former Council of Session for the Committee.
My name is Gwanya, I'm
the Committee. AFC. Tracy Ngubeni, member of the Council of Committee.
Miriam Pami Pariso, member of the Council of Committee.
Most member of the
Committee. I'm Vincent Mugaku, member of the Committee.
And my name is Vincent Smith, I'm the chair. So board members, you can expect correspondence from these people, at least you'll know the context of it. We normally try and send correspondence through the boss lady here. Normally we try and do it through her so that it's coordinated. But nothing stops members from directly interacting with yourself. So these are members of the portfolio committee. I know there's absentees, Mr. Nguni from COP is not here, I think he's the only absentee. But this is the team, Correctional Services, and Cindy normally runs our budget. So over to you again, Mr. Villagardi, please.
Thank you. All right, thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable members of the committee, and can you also greet our colleagues from DCS and the Office of the AG. What our presentation would be talking to the board directors that have been outlined by the chairperson, the Aragon Minister, the 34 million rand outstanding debt, and the Logos matter and the VTMization. Since the last meeting we had with this audience in last year, there have been numerous interactions between myself as the CEO and the commissioner, the DG, Mr. Mugani, to address these couple matters, and we've also had numerous interactions at an operational level to deal with these matters that are our concern. And what I'll do is I'll ask our executive for service delivery just to speak to the details of some of the progress that we make, you know, in relation to these particular matters and where exactly we are. In some areas there hasn't been much progress because of the fact that the parties didn't actually find, you know, one another. But in the other areas like the BTM migration, there's significant progress in the sense that we intend ensuring that the transition happens at the end of this particular week. But let me hand over to Makhosi just to give a detailed presentation on these matters that the presentation has been forwarded to yourself, Jack.
Good morning, once again, thank you, Chair President. Thanks to the committee and greetings to all of you.
Sorry. Members have got that presentation before then. Yeah. You have it, eh? Yeah, okay.
I would like to report on the four matters that was requested to talk about. I will also add a logic one as well, because on the presentation I'm talking to the business agreement, the SICA payment outstanding, the ADOM, the remind the training offense management system, and migration on the network, which we call the VPN migration. The business agreement that the department is supposed to sign with ICA is under discussion with negotiating with the DITO, in the future. We hope that this has to be in place by the end of the financial year to start the new year on this one. There has been delays in, as previously alluded, in terms of payment. I will talk to the 34 million that the chair is referring to. Out of the 34 million dispute which was disputed last year, we had submitted supporting documents to the value of 18 million to the department. However, we are still only having copies of the timesheet, the 40 million that we referred to. It refers to the human resources, which is mainly that it's knowledge that the department will have the original Valcita copy. So that's the 16 million out of the 36 million that is just signed here, the original copy. However, in this current financial year, the payments are going smoothly except the old debt. Then on the outcome, on the system, the issue at hand is that we had discussions with the service provider at CETA to find a solution towards completing the project. There were proposals made, and what needed to happen is for our CEO and the correctional service commissioner and the chairperson of DD were supposed to sit and resolve and give us a guideline on how to take this matter forward. Several meetings were requested. This is handed over to the CE to consider strategic decisions on this matter. So the next chairperson, unfortunately, has not been resolved because we haven't gotten amicably on how we can take this. This is something that has been we have DD has submitted an arbitration on the CETA and the department, which we received. So we're willing to put it down, but until the matter has been resolved, so it's still standing with us to say that it is in the head of the court this matter. I've already alluded to the amount pending. However, on the project, the VPN project, which is the network migration, we are scheduled to cut over this coming weekend from Friday on the 345 of the VPN that will be cut over on the virtual private network of CETA. The plans are on the way, and we don't foresee any problems on this one. So let us just move operation in terms of the network of the department. The last issue that Jefferson mentioned, which I didn't cover on the presentation, was the issue on the lobbies. It was reported as the last item in the last meeting that is an operational issue. Upon inquiry with the person who reported this matter at an operational level, we were assured that the issue was resolved because we were supposed to send the technical team to resolve the matter. So as far as we are concerned, the lobbies issues have been resolved. Thank you, Chairperson.
Commissioner? Do you guys want to have a bite at what has been presented before we open up to members? And also, AB, you are free to give us a normal expert opinion. I mean, if people say Logos is up and running and you have a different view, you better tell us now because you're part of a meeting. And your silence means consent. Yes. So do you want to have a bite? Yes. If you may. Yes.
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Oh, sorry, you want it? Okay.
I forgot something on the 19 million that you mentioned.
Yes.
Because it wasn't on the, we didn't cover it. In the last meeting, the department highlighted that they had called an investigation on the matter. It was run through the department. The report was going to come through the committee from the department to report the audit inquiry. We had to give our resources, give information when the investigation was happening. So the court will not deal with it, but however, will deal with the department of the law.
Correct.
Thank you, Chairperson, and members of the Portfolio Committee. Also want to recognize the Chairperson of the Board of CETA and the team that he leads. Certainly, we are grateful after we have this meeting, and what the colleague from CETA has indicated is true that in several meetings, both operational and at the strategic level between ourselves and CETA. So I want to indicate that my DDG, GITO, will be able to respond to some of the issues that have been put on the table, but we need to indicate that there has been an amicable process in trying to resolve some of the issues that are mentioned here. It is also important to reflect that the Akron's matter is an old matter, 2008, a platform upon which correctional services will be able to account for offenders in our facilities. And this, the committee will appreciate, has not happened for a number of years. It is a concern for myself and concern from CETA. Because we found in ADOM, so a system that is accountable for offenders, we are clutching straws here. Money has been spent, and therefore it is important for us to be able to account to the taxpayers of this country as to how do we have a system that has been conceptualized, but it has not been put into operation. The matter is being given due attention, and therefore request to the committee that because of the complexities around this matter of ADOM, through your office, Chairperson, that the matter be placed in abeyance so that we can have an in-depth discussion, because we don't want to get to cut the stage here because discussions are taking place between ourselves and CETA. There's a third player here, that is Dimension Data. Correctional Services does not have a contract with Dimension Data. We have a contractual agreement with CETA, which is a service agreement, service provider. But I must say that we're doing everything possible that this matter is addressed amicably. As the presenter has indicated that the matter has been put before the court. Unfortunate, but it's a process, it's a business requirement from the service provider, which is Dimension Data. They have a right to do what they think is optimal to themselves, but we as a government department need therefore to account for each and every money that is spent. Lamentably, as we speak, we don't have a system. And therefore, it is becoming something that we have inherited as this new management from 2008, and we want to have closure on this matter as quickly as possible. So therefore, request the Chito Ms. Musuke to respond and be able to provide responses on the issue that has been raised and give you an updated version of where we are. Certainly, the presentation given is assets, but we'll be able to provide where the accounting in terms of money. But also suffice to say that the 19 million that you raised is an investigation, and therefore we cannot report it until the investigation is completed. You recall, Chairperson, that in 2010, when the Auditor General, in his report, indicated that there were maladministration, we cannot account for some of the money, especially in the IT sphere, we took a pause to inform the previous minister of the serious problems that were occurring in the IT section. And also want to put it on record once again, that IT problems in the correctional services were not given the high level attention that they deserve, because it was pitched at a very low level in terms of leadership. It was the chief director running a budget in the Department of Green, which ran 17 billion. And therefore it was for that reason that we disaggregated and we disbanded the unit under which IT was reporting. Today we can speak of a fully fledged IT that is led at the DDG level. Secondly, in order also to deflect any discussion on this matter, there were 183 consultants in that year who have been sitting for more than 10 to 15 years, and yet we don't have a system. And therefore we decided it is important that we have an IT system that is robust. It's not CETA's problem, Department of Correctional Services, which did not have a vision as how to deal with the issues that we're dealing with today. Now, we speak here today because we have capacity and authority as a leadership perspective. The DG's responsible for IT is now dealing with matters on the table. The investigation is taking place. We now have a forensic analysis and a forensic audit on this matter. So we request therefore that for purposes of the forensic, that we should not be given request to provide a report here. That investigation is taking place with the express support of National Treasury. So I just want to take a pause on that. The DDG on IT will respond on the issues that are on the team. Thank you, Chairperson.
Good morning. Good morning, colleagues. I'm the director of the Department of Correctional Services. My name is Ntabise Mutipie. Good morning, as I said, my name is Ntabise Mutipie. I'm the GC for the Department of Public of Correctional Services. And in terms of the logins, it's unfortunate that we still have challenges, especially now that we are migrating to the VPN. One of the things that are standing from that is that the logins cannot take the number of users that we're currently having. But it's an operational issue that the team is looking at and ensuring that by the cutoff date on the 1st of March we are able to do the migration smoothly. So we still have issues that are unlocking, but which is also unfortunate for both of us as with CETA, because it's a transversal system that really needs to be resolved at a higher level and through national treasury as well. On the issue of the 34 million, the 80 million of it is on contracts that are transversal contracts, which we definitely have committed to pay. But on the 14 million is also part of the investigation that has been done in terms of the 90 million, because it's regarding consultants. It's also the amount that has needs to be paid above the service level agreement that was paid during that period of time. So it's issues that we need to take offline with CETA to show them that, unfortunately, based on those investigations, those amounts cannot be paid because it was above the service level agreement. I think the commissioner has clearly indicated on the outcome, which is where we're standing with CETA. We need to make sure that we are putting it in place. So those are the issues that we need to raise with the committee.
Yeah, good enough. We've got on ourselves, and I'm just speaking this for myself because you don't understand very heavily. Oh, you are? Okay, fine. Now, maybe yourself, that hand was nominee Abraham. Then we come to Buisela, not Vincent. Buisela Makaku. Vincent is not everybody's name. Oh. Let's start with that.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I want to understand this matter. What's being presented here is a lot of code. And I don't understand. I understood being introduced, but I don't understand what I was told yesterday. And let's start with order, because when the committee was briefed on the 12th of September last year, the status at that stage was the meeting was held between the three parties to outline the way forward, and that's still pending. We come here today and we are informed that the status is that the meeting was held between the three parties to outline the way forward. CETA recommends further engagement to see the CEO, DTS, and Dimension Data, chairperson to resolve the matter amicably. We were told that steps were being taken to take the process forward. There's now talk of arbitration, which is not part of this report, of course. Now, I actually want to know what the fact is. Where, I mean, we have a system, and I'm not pointing fingers, I'm not blaming anybody. It happened in the previous era and the previous time. We have a system, I understand, that was contracted for with a particular commercial company. That system does not operate in Flash. There have been various meetings. What's going on? I mean, could you please tell us what is going on at those meetings so that we know whether we are going to land up in court, whether we're going to have an add-on system that works or not, whether we're going to have to write money off or not. I don't know what's going on there. Secondly,
with your indulgence, can we just leave it at Ardom? You'll be the first one on the next one. I just want to ask other members, because we've been around in circles. Are there any other members that want to ask questions on Ardom? Let's deal with Ardom, get out of the way so that we can note what the decisions are. We'll then come back to you, Mr. Self, and any other members on any other matters. But is there anybody else that wants to talk on this Ardom system from outside? Anybody else? On Ardom. Abraham and Marakula have noticed you were not Ardom. No? Abraham, you were not going to talk on Ardom?
No.
Alright. Anybody on Ardom so that we can get this Ardom? And it is on page number 4. That's where Mr. Chap is talking to. Joe, we want to talk to Ardom?
Maybe just that it is very difficult to talk about now. Would they haven't responded? They have to respond to me. We may have a follow-up because some of the issues that they have raised by my colleague, maybe they will open up so that we are able to engage in that.
Okay. Now, I think the point that I'm making is that they have to focus on Ardom for now and get it out of the way. All right. Mr. Self has asked a question. Let me put the question to you, Mr. Vilagavitiko, so that you understand. You know, remand detention is the biggest problem that we have in South Africa, in this part. if we can deal, you and I might know it's an awaiting trial type of thing. You know, if we can solve that thing, we don't have an overcrowding problem in South Africa. This committee approved last year or the year before the Correctional Matters Amendment Act that says remand detainees can't be in prison for more than 2 years without a justifiable answer. Now, if we don't even have a system that says Cindy has come in at this time, and she, what I'm saying is the state is opening itself up, or we've passed a law that we cannot implement. As long as we, I mean, until we have sufficient. This is the seriousness of the thing that we're having. Somebody's awaiting trial here, in Joburg. He goes to Fox Street. He gets off in Joburg. But the same person is also awaiting trial, let's say me. So instead of then sending him from Durban to Westbrook, because he's got another case there, once he gets removed, it's over. He goes home. And only to realize, okay, hey, by the way, this man is wanted somewhere else. A system will say to us that once he's finished with case one, this is the seriousness. And I don't think that this committee can any longer allow for this thing to continue. We just cannot. I'm raising it, Mr. Vigazi, because I think you knew to appreciate that it can't be a talk shop anymore. If somebody comes to us and says, our job is not operational, it's in a problem report, and we are forced, Mr. Blake as the CEO, we are forced, the commissioner, to have to escalate this thing. We are really forced to escalate this thing because it's setting up government, it's got an act that is never going to be implemented because we don't have a platform in which to put it in place. I think that's the seriousness. And I'm hoping you appreciate that when you answer it. You can't say something when you can't deal with it. We need time frames so that we can monitor it, so that we are able to justify when we are able to implement the Correctional Matters Amendment Act totally. So that is the context for the new board members. Nobody else wants to talk to our doms. Can you guys just alleviate our fears?
Okay. In our last meeting, I did make a presentation on ARDOM, and we have met with CITA and the service provider, but unfortunately we could not agree in terms because technically the system is not functional. I cannot bring the system here and say that check, please log on, admit an offender, must go through the process of remand, must see how many times it goes to court, must see how many, when was he sentenced. We cannot even see how to allocate a cell, for example, for that offender. So that whole business process of remand, incarceration, parole, and communicate correction, we cannot see it on the system. So there's the technical functionalities that we have not agreed with the service provider. Because what they are giving us are just the face value, just the screens of the system. So in that way, I cannot sign off the amount that they are requesting us to pay. And before they go and fix, they wanted us to pay 17 million rand. So that's the technical aspect of it, to say that I cannot agree to that because the system is not functional. I cannot bring it to the committee and say, committee has a system, log on, admit an offender, take them through process of parole, take them through community correction, release an offender. The system is not functional. Therefore, they decided to take it for arbitration. Then we have met with the lawyers within the department. They have sent a letter to CITA to say that they want to go to court. We say, then let's go to court and prove ourselves. Because if I don't have a system on the desk, unfortunately, I cannot pay for that system. So that's where we are. Until I have a functional system, I will pay. But if I don't have a functional system, I cannot pay the service provider.
Mr. Vilagasi, what is your team type? I'm going to say, Mr. Gilagaj, I'm talking about it.
Yeah.
What are you guys saying about that?
I see you all, Chair. Yeah. You know, Chair, we've been ethically engaged because of the seriousness of the matter with the CPS and the service provider. Unfortunately, at this point in time, we can't actually find one another, but the parties have committed themselves that once we are awaiting the legal process to be completed, we should still engage one another to see how quickly this matter can be resolved. The fact of the matter is that the department, as correctly indicated, that they are disputing value for money, they are disputing the functionality They are disputing contractual arrangements. There are issues that CETA also has to answer. There are issues that the mentioned data also has to answer in relation to contractual management, and we can't find one another there. But the willingness and the effort to continue to find out of court settlement, you know, it's still with us. So unfortunately, at this point in time, we're just awaiting the date for the arbitration to proceed. But we are still trying to talk on the sidelines to see how we can actually expedite the resolution of this matter, because the functionality for the department is critical.
Let's take those that haven't spoken on this matter. But really, you know, what we want is for members of parliament to give combat. Really, sorry, I beg your pardon. We want members of parliament to give combat as opposed to whatever. He clearly is a major. After assisting, we have got a problem, and these chaps are talking about going to court. What are we saying as correctional services to give them direction? I really don't want to open this thing up anymore. I'm quite frustrated with Arzom, quite honestly. I'm frustrated with Arzom. So when you speak, give a proposal to the Tanganyika and then give these guys direction. Those that haven't spoken on this matter first, none of you have spoken. Abraham, then you'll follow Mangwenya, then you'll follow Ngubeni, and then you'll follow Marakul. No, let me give those people, I want you to come. You want to come to proposal? Can we allow this young man to come to proposal? You want to come to
proposal? No, Chairperson, I think you pointed Abraham.
Okay.
And this matter is complex. We want to read matters, we want to talk. I think we have to pick up now, and then it comes to me, and those who will say yes must raise up that.
No, we had asked if you want to talk for Arzom. We're just talking on Arzom now.
Oh.
Just on Arzom, so that we get this thing to bed. Abraham, Vincent Makakula, Honorable Ngwenya, and then Honorable Ngube.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, you know, I once heard somebody saying, you might think that you have a very good court case. A bad settlement is better than a good court case. What I don't understand there, which I wish to try and understand, is that this matter is not something that has come on the table now suddenly. It's been here for years. We have certain constitutional obligations as a state to render a particular service. And we are now told that the service is being thwarted by the fact that the systems that were supposed to have been put in place have not been put in place. Now, Chairperson, I want to come by in Zelas here from here. There's no point arguing here now who is wrong and who is right and who didn't do this and who didn't do that. The issue here is, why wasn't it done? Is the issue that because there is a dispute over some monies that come a long way over other issues? And it is a question of, hey, listen, if you don't pay me that, I'm not going to do this. Now, if that is the kind of thing, Chair, then what we are doing is we are putting the interests of the state that they bear. And that cannot be allowed. We have an obligation to see that this system works. We cannot carry on the way we are carrying on there. It shows total dysfunctionality. Now, Chairperson, my problem is that for years now, you people have been talking. And you have not been able to find a solution if you appear. I would suggest, Chair, that we bring in an arbiter so that this arbiter will have to be a legal person, can look at why these things are not happening and find a way forward. Chairperson, there are so many systems that have been installed. For example, a so-called security system which also cost millions, and it is dysfunctional, not working. At an astronomical price. So we also have to be very careful that every cent of the taxpayer And I think all of you must be prepared for a shock this afternoon. Every cent of the taxpayer is spent judiciously. So my suggestion, Shelley, is that it appears that they cannot find one another. And yet we are supposed to be all, you know, state, semi-state institutions. We cannot come to the table and resolve a problem. Now if we can't do that, Chair, let us propose an arbiter, let us give them strict time frames, and let them come up with a final solution, Chair. Otherwise, Chair, if you're going to leave it, if you're going to leave it to the two departments, Chair, I can see, I can watch the body language. I can see, Chair, that they're going to be constantly at loggerheads. You need some neutral person that is trained in things like this and who will be able to bring issues together and find a resolution. And secondly, Chair, if that is the route that everybody agrees and wants to go, then, Chair, we need to give it strict time frames. We cannot allow a method, Chair, in state departments which hang on for 4 or 5 years. It's almost one term of parliament. You cannot allow that kind of situation, Chair. We need to find resolutions. Thank you.
Honorable Makakula.
Thank you, Chair. I'll start with the department. Assuming the department is coming free here, that they don't pay without seeing the work. So we hope that we won't see this again, or we won't find something that is debate before we start working, because we'll come also to the issues of safety and the like. Shepherdson, this issue, when September, we say these two sit in the department, just let them go and sit down and set up to resolve this problem, because the problem seemingly is with the two of them. So far, they didn't. And also, it is very clear here that the department, the CICA is $134 million. And then, since even from last year, from then, they failed to account for that $34 million. And they account for $18 million. And then after that, they want to go to court. They say, give us an account about that money. And you don't account for the $30 million. And then you rush to the court. For what? Because read the presenter said, seemingly, they're going to get that $80 million. But to me, because their money is $34 million, why they account for $18 million and then go to court also? Really, it's something that I don't understand. Chairperson, I think for the experience that I had for working in parliament, I know that we are using to have a budget. The budget for a year, that if the money doesn't be used, it will take back to the treasury. But the theater and the department, we really don't know where the department going to get the money. Okay? Because I think the annual year has been gone, and then we still need the 34 million. Really, it's something that I don't understand. I think for me, the proposal is the matter to be taken, but now is a problem because the scar is sub judice. There is a certain document that are in the court, and then, but the issue was supposed to be taken back to the treasurer, so that the treasurer knows that, because in the end of the day, we need the treasurer to finance. As the department, we are going forward, we can't track on this matter. And then really, it's a serious problem. It can't be taken to court, but must be taken back to the treasurer. And treasurer, see what he's going to do. This is the problem.
Thank you so much. Honorable Ngwenya?
Thanks, Chairperson. Secretary, I think as a committee, we cannot allow a taxpayer's money on a system which doesn't work. So, we want a proof as a committee that this system was working, and we are expecting a good service to be provided before the money is paid. When we are listening here at Jefferson, we find that they want money back before they do it. And secondly, we also need to know that the reason of the payment provider needs to be paid as why. And Jefferson, I want to know that when was this contract made? And we need that proof as a committee. We can go and need the contract secretary so that we can assist. But for now, Chair, we are just listening, but it shows us that there's no good relationship both sides, Jefferson. And I'm worried, as Member Matakula said, that this is the end of the budget. And we are fighting for this solution, Jefferson. So there's a lot that we need here. And now they're taking the case to the court and come back to ask the committee. It worries me, Jefferson. So that's what I want to say, Chair. Thank you.
Yeah, Member.
Thank you, Secretary. You know, this matter is a thing that since it has dragged so long from 2008. And in my view, there is no way a provider can produce a dysfunctional product if the project specification by the department were outlined clearly to them. Unless that service provider is not capable of doing the job. So what I want to find out is whether such correct clearly outlined from the onset, or do you trust the service provider? Can it do the job? Maybe Sita will have to answer that one because they are the ones that contracted the service provider. So my recommendation would be that they've done the job already, but it was up to satisfaction. If you really believe to the service provider that it will produce what you want, pay them a certain amount in order for them to rectify the problem. And if you really don't believe that they'll produce what you want, then you have to get another service provider. I don't know what the matter is now in court. What do you think?
Well, we want to loosen the matter. We want to loosen. Let's take Mr. Ndobu, and then we will come back to Mr. Vilagazi and you, Chito.
No, Chairperson, I think the proposal that was passed by the chairman, I will go with it. Because the chairperson, it was long about 5 years, so 2008 to today. That's the only way that you can solve the problem. There is no other way. You can ask any question, you'll get so many answers. But at the end of the day, you'll solve the problem. Let us find the person who's going to solve the problem and give us the go ahead of what you want to do. Thank you.
Let me try, Mr. Vilagazi, to marry what everybody is saying and then you guys will respond. Clearly there is a cry from Parliament for the need of a deal break here between these three parties. By the way, three parties. As I mentioned, there's a suggestion of an arbitration. I'm not sure we can do that at Parliament. But what we certainly can do is to insist that Treasury comes back to us with this problem. With that, we can do that. I mean, an outside arbitration would be at our cost. I'm not sure that as Parliament can do that. But Makagula is suggesting that we go to Treasury and indicate to Treasury that we need this thing resolved. It is now 5 years or 8 years that this thing is on the go. That not a single cent gets paid until this thing is resolved, is what members are saying. And members are also asking for us to have sight of that original agreement. I'm not marrying it anyway, but I'm trying to summarize what our members are saying. There must have been an agreement. We want to have sight of that agreement. That says Damien Data will do A, B, and C. And have they done it or not? So to try and summarize what members are saying. My proposal to marry your Abraham and Makakula is for us to write treasure. If we must write to the Minister of Finance, let's do that. And say we need a solution on this Abraham thing. It's going to court the arbitration that all those matters happening at an executive level. But we as Parliament want to know what is happening. That we ask Dimension Data through correctional services to submit to us the original document, whether it's defect and so on. So I think that is what members of Parliament are saying. I'm trying to summarize so that you guys will tell us what you agree. What we are saying, ultimately, is that we are not going to continue to argue, Honorable Mube, about if people can do it or people can't do it. We now have a legal obligation through legislation that there must be a system in place. There must be a system in place. You guys must implement something that you brought to us. Whether it's Dimension Data, whether it's Vincent Smith, whether it's us and Alpha, that thing has to be in place. I think that's what we're saying from our side. It has to be done. So there's two issues here. There's a payment issue that you guys must deal with, and an operational issue that we are insisting must be in place sooner rather than later. Sooner rather than later, we need a system where we can press a button and have a database of all awaiting trial, as you were saying, Peter. He was arrested, he's where. That's what we want. So that's what Parliament is saying to the department. That's what Parliament will say to the executive if we need to take it. We are affording both of you an opportunity to influence how we interact with the executive on these matters. But you know more or less, you've heard what members are saying. Let's start with Peter. And then bring it to Jito or Commissioner if you want to, on Abdom, and let's move on to the next one.
Honourable Chairperson and members of the committee, I think we have the issues. One advantage of being a newcomer is that you can stand back and analyze and understand issues afresh. The disadvantage is that you're working against time because the problem is going on for a long time. Before the colleagues, the team responds to specific questions. Let me start with what should be last and propose what I think would be a way forward that we assist us. I would appeal to the chair and the committee that perhaps we be given a timeline, a three or a timeline. The first time this matter has been brought to the level of the board, I would commit chair that the board specifically, I would personally get involved in this matter and engage with the DTS as well as with the company, the Dimension Data, the chaplain, and whoever is appropriate. If we can be given some time, say a month to 2 months, for us to go and sit down and find an amicable solution to this issue, because what I'm hearing is that it's a clear deadlock where Dimension Data says we've done the work, but the client says, but this work doesn't talk to what we're looking for. And therefore, you need to go back and find out the question that the Honourable Member has been raised. What's the specification here? Did you respond to the specification? Because then it still begins with the question of whether somebody has to be paid or not. If they've gone out of the specification, definitely it's still an issue. You cannot be paid if you are up to go and manufacture a Volvo and you come with a Toyota. It's a different issue. So I would appeal, Chair, that if we can be given the maximum 2 months to go, the three parties to come together, and if the three parties deem it necessary at this point to invite Treasury, do so, but let's find out, go to a contract, go to the specifications, go to the point of divergence, why this thing is not talking to this, and then come back with a very clear solution to the committee.
colleagues to respond.
No, before your colleagues, respond to it, I think that a concrete way forward. Have you got a different view to what they are saying? Because then I'm going to ask members. Because if members agree with that one, let's just take it, put time frame, we'll move on. Are you comfortable with that approach?
Very much comfortable, Chair.
Members of Parliament, do you want to add anything like time frames? CETA, through its chair, is saying 2 months. It's up to us to say it's wrong, right? They are talking about 3 people in that discussion. We can add or subtract. Are we, there's a firm proposal on the table out here, Members of Parliament. Mr. Sal?
I think 2 months is very reasonable, considering we've been waiting 7 years or 8 years. But, you know, there are any other dimensions, I was just going to say, any other dimensions that I get reinforced. I would like to add in that the, I mean, we're dealing with states here. And we're dealing with a service provider that does a lot of other business with the same time too. And I would have thought that if one dealt with it in that way of maybe looking at the totality of the service provider's exposure to the state, I'm sure that the service provider might be in more persuadable to be more reasonable if it was phrased in that way.
We all comfortable? Put the proposal, 2 months proposal for them to come back to us.
Thank you,
Chairperson. I think Chairperson, 2 months is fine. What you mean by
okay. Mr. Villegas, can we make you the lead for the point, personally? Can we also indicate to you, sir, that if by some reason you are redeployed or fired before those 2 months, that you hand it over to somebody? Because I'm serious. Because people start to think, and then they leave, and somebody else comes, and we are told, good thing, no, I'm new, give me another 2 months. We are talking to the institution. As long as Peter is alive, we are expecting 2 months, whether it's Mr. Vilazi or Mr. Smith or whoever. We will hope Peter are comfortable, accountable come the beginning of April. That's what we are saying as MPs. We will then agree between DTS, Peter, and Dimension Data that you guys will come back to us in April. Cindy will arrive. And if you come in touch for that item only, we will do that. In May. April is supposed to work. Financially end in
April.
Oh, the 27th April will be 2 months from now. Okay, sorry. All right. We're in agreement that sometime between the first week of May we'll get together. And see where we're at in terms of ARDA.
Yes.
All right. Mr. Self, you want to raise another point, and then I've still got Abraham and Makatu.
Thank you, Chair. The first matter that I wanted to raise.
And then we need your column.
Then relates to the. The 90 million rand,
yep.
which requires, I think, a little bit further explanation if we can get it. And that is that when you originally raised this thing, I think it was during May or June of last year, we insisted on a forensic audit, and we insisted that that forensic audit should be an outside agency. Now, it's become clear, I think, that the investigation such as is taking place by the DCS, not by an outside institution. Reference was made earlier today that some of the disputes of 34 million rand is included in the 90 million rand. So I'd just like to get a clearer idea about where we are with the investigation, when the investigation will be concluded, and whether at the end of the process we will be able to draw a line underneath the amount of money, be able to determine whether or not there were persons that were clearly employed by the department that were responsible for this, and whether consequential action will be able to take. Because we all heard the speech of our speech by Mr. Manuel and Mr. Sotulu about accountability of public servants. Well, we want to see this thing action for this particular service. Mr.
Abraham?
Why don't you put it there?
Chairperson, in the course of his response, the commissioner said inter alia that the IT in DCS is not reached at a high level. Went on to say that he now has a fully fledged division, IT division. Am I right? And then, sir, that in the past, DCS had no vision when it came to IT. What I'm asking for, Chair, is not for the Commissioner to be able to raise it off today, but to send us, with respect to the three issues that he had raised, exactly what this new division is, this new fully fledged division is going to do, whether he's given them any time frames, and what is the DCS vision now to achieve what was not achieved in the past, and at what level are they planning to pitch the IT requirements of DDS. I think, Chair, we need to have such a plan, a concrete plan with time frames, because if you want to pitch something, there must be some time frame. And as the background to my asking for this, Chair, is that it's not only this department, but various other departments that come before us would make you all sorts of promises. And if you look back a year later, you will find the precious little of what was said had been achieved. That we can benchmark against it over time. Then, Chair, I just want to speak to not the chairperson of the CETA board, but to Mr. Jerry Vilakazi himself, because I have a high regard for him and his involvement in business and that sort of thing.
No, we're not going to allow you to talk to Jerry Vilakazi.
No, Chair. What I'm asking Mr. Jerry Vilakazi is that, yes, you have a problem, not of your making, but which has come along over a long period of time. You know, in business, you don't allow things to stretch for a long period of time, because there's interest involved. I mean, if you don't get your money in time, that costs you money. So, being a businessman, I would like to see, Chair, that we have a business approach on issues like these. And I hope that departments, Chair, will realize that they are also businesses, that they are being given money by the fiscus to carry out certain functions. And I think the auditors will agree with me. If those functions are not carried out according to the policies and plans and legislation, then their person is costing, at the end of the day, the ordinary taxpayer money, because things are not done according to the plans that were put on the table, and it was according to those plans, Chair, that the fiscus has voted or made available budgets. The chairperson, that is the background, and that is the reason. And I hope that when Mr. Lakazi comes back here again, that he would give us a reason, or at least he would be able to send to us how he plans to put this matter or lay it to rest. The sooner, the better. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, sir. Mr. Makabula.
No,
Mam Benya.
Thank you, Chairperson.
No, hold on. No, we got on everything, ma'am.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No. We had just asked the people to act on. Members are able to raise anything. Mam Benya, continue.
Chairperson, on the issue of these documents that we're having, I wanted to know that when was this submitted? The document says spending of the current business agreement. But it is not clear, Chair, that when was submitted, if I can get carried out. Then again, Chair, on the delay in payment to the CPI, Chair, I wanted to know that how much are they paying? Are they paying
3 months or every month, it is not yet. Also, if we can get clarity on that, then they must apply it so that we can understand. Okay. In terms of 24 million visitors, Peterson, again, then I wanted to know that why the speaker wait for the committee chair to intervene, because it shows that if the committee were not intervened, they were going to live with this problem. I don't know until when. Thank you.
Thank you, Captain. Mine is on the third issue, the business acumen. Whether you define the same thing as the outstanding line of understanding that is not yet signed, or something that is new. According to the information you are giving us, this has been workshop, and this has been sent to the Department of Science. It is signed already. If these negotiations are taking place, what is being negotiated? Thank you.
Right. Nobody else. Let me be the last one. I think this one goes to the department, maybe. Peter, again on the outstanding amount of 34 million that we're talking about, and maybe also Villa Gazi, just so that you understand, this thing is 361 days plus. There's no business that can help debtors for 361 days plus and do nothing about it. My concern more than anything else, Commissioner, is when you eventually decide to pay it, and I think Magakula raised this, when you eventually decide to pay it, if ever, you know that you're going to have an irregular expenditure. You know that we're going to have an irregular expenditure. We can't sit here as members of Parliament and close our eyes and be quiet when Kayvona has this thing coming to us. You see, that's our big concern. Because what it means, Mr. Villegas, is that money that is aimed at paying a teacher's salary in DTF is going to be used to pay this. For money that is supposed to be paying for a vacancy, we don't fill the vacancy, then we do a virement and that money goes there. That is the difficulty that we have. So I'm asking you, Commissioner and Peter, and also yourself there, to talk this matter. 3 years old, there's first of all, they're not going to ask for that budget today. They're going to have to take in 3 months if Mr. Legazi does his work properly. Do you turn up your money? And do you know that you're going directly to a qualification? So that is my issue. Let's open it up to anyone. Maybe you should start with Legazi if you have anything that was directed to you. You want to say Legazi and President Sita, and then Correctional Services, if there was anything that was directed to you. We had planned to have this thing only for half an hour, but it was such an important matter. We've extended it. We'll then ask members if they have anything else, otherwise we'll ask you that, or we will return call and you can leave and we'll do something else. But over to you.
Right. Thanks, Chairperson. The business agreement is a contractual arrangement between the department and the CISA in terms of the services that we need to provide to the department. And those business agreements will include service level agreements for whatever project it is and services it is that we need to deliver. When was it submitted? We had submitted the new template of the business agreement to the department in November, and as has been indicated,
November last year.
And as has been indicated in interactions with the GITO and the executive of ISD Service Delivery, we would want to sign that business agreement before the end of March of this year, so that it can regulate any future business moving forward. The monthly billing, when did we start dealing with the monthly billing? The issue around the billing is that billing would be monthly, to the department in terms of the services that we render. And I need to indicate that current billing, the department is on track, the department is performing, we don't have any particular problem. It's just the fact that, as we indicate, the chairperson of the 34 million, which is essentially, a bit historical, and so we have actually started interacting with the department, even, before it became a big matter for discussion here at the committee. And without getting to go into details, and bore the committee, with the details, but we are fully well aware as to what exactly, is a stumbling block. The department has committed in relation to the 18 million that we invoiced, last week, that they are committed, to paying that, and they're also indicating that the 14 million it looks like it's going to be part and parcel of the 19th of the investigation which is being done. I think that is fair enough. All that we need to do is we just need to continue talking about what basically remains and whether the department is satisfied with whatever other evidence we will be giving them. I don't know if Mahotis would want to add anything.
Thank you. I just want to answer around that thing that you said, the payment. Several letters are normally sent to the department if there's a debt, and they run through our CFO, our finance department. And this matter started way back in 2009, and followed up from the government officer of the debt collapse type of data. So they had been letters even before the committee that go directly to the department. I think that's what I would like to add on that. But on a month-to-month basis, nothing happens. Like today, just financially, everything is on track. Everything is what we're speaking about is backing off payments of all the debt.
Yes, Peter? Can I just ask you a question? Is Honorable Gordo and Honorable Sisulu up to speed with what's happening in Sita Correctional Service? Are you up to speed? You see, we have the power of raising a question in the House to say there is a serious deadlock between... Your Peter falls under the PSA, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, the question that I'm asking, is your political authority aware of the graveness of what is happening? Correctional services, similarly, we're going to ask you, is your political authority aware of the graveness of what's happening? Because we will escalate it to that level at some point. So just a quick question, yes or no, are they aware? If they're not, maybe you must make them aware.
No, Chairperson, in relation to the Argonne's matter, our minister is not aware of the deadlock, but in relation to the debt of their departments are owing us, she is aware.
No. Raise the Argonne's letter because we are going to talk about the criminal justice review system and the impact that other departments have on it. This is having an impact. Okay, so raise it with Lindy and Ayanda. Commissioner? You're coming after Commissioner Ba.
Chair, I'll give the welcome to my chief.
Thank you, Chair. I think in terms of the I'll respond to the question that has been raised, especially on the investigations. In terms of the investigations, yes, it was done by an external party, which was PwC, independently from us as a department, independently from CICA, because they were just stakeholders to be asked questions based on the findings that were done during that time. The investigation is completed. We have a report. We have set and concluded and accepted the report. And now we have to take action. We have to consult with our legal services in terms of the way forward. And only one of the three implicated people on that are still with us, and he's on suspension, that a candidate. Therefore,
I go. You have a chance to respond.
It's not recent. Those are the matters that happened in the period of 2007, 8, 9, 10. So the other one resigned, I think, around 2007. The other candidate resigned in 2010.
Resigned from the state or resigned from DCS?
From both the state and DCS, because I think the other candidate as well, he had other matters within the department, so he was basically dismissed in the department. The other one resigned, and the other one is still on suspension. In terms of the plan with the time frame that we have, we will put together a presentation based on the request that the members have done in terms of the function of the branch. What are we mandated to do, what we have achieved so far, we'll also be able to do that, and what are the plans going forward, we'll also be able to do that presentation. And I think CISA responded in terms of the business agreement and the payments that we let us still owing to them.
All right, last round, if members want to ask follow-up, otherwise we will thank CISA. Anybody else wants to ask questions in the presence of CISA Mangwenya? Anybody else? It's going to be a last round. And it's on any matter or comment, so that at least CISA has the benefit of members' views. Makabula, you'll be number two, and Baba Dobu, you'll be number three. Mangwenya?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think the President has spoken about it. As Babando said, it's very interesting. Chairperson, in the GCS, there's a tendency of people doing corruption. And once they find out that they are caught, then they resign. So, Chair, that's my comment, that now enough is enough. We need to do what President said. We are going to close the rank. We are going to arrest people, Chair. Thank you.
Baba Kula and then Baba Dogo.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think it surprised me about the one who ran away, and then the other one who was fired, and the other one who was still executed. But really, my question is based on the CFO of CETA. CFO, you said
CEO.
Of CEO. He said, no, he was spoken very nice now. He was spoken very nice as the problem is solved. And there is, they understand now each other with the department. My question, what about the statute of care? Because you take the department to court. Some of the issues, we are even not supposed to speak about. Because those issues are subjudicated. According to you, you said no, now the department is blah, blah, blah. So what are you going to do as from now? Because really show the correspondence of the department. Are you going to withdraw the case in court, or do you still leave the case in court and then while looking for the other solution, of which we said Mr. Vilagas, you must come with the solution next 2 months. What are you going to do? Because there is a subjudicial here, there is a case that is going on about this matter, and then how seemingly we are trying to solve the problem. What are we going to do right there?
Well,
it's
over.
Well,
now, let me explain why I say it's interesting. It's interesting when you say a person has resigned when there is an investigation. This is interesting. And secondly, is it interesting when you see the CFO preside when there is something that you are discussing? Thirdly, it is interesting when you see two out of the three resign and leave the department and leave the government. And nothing happens thereafter. It is interesting. Because people do that, because they know that they can run away. Now, If we are to Mr. Vilas and to the commissioner, anybody who has been implicated from day on, it doesn't matter unless he's in the room where we can't reach, we'll have to fight for him and lock him up. Because if we're going to deal with the corruption, we have to face it as it comes. We can't be saying people must just resign and so on and so forth and run away with it. Because if you do that, that means we're going right around. That's true.
I've noted the AG. I've noted you. You will speak before we allow the table to do the final responses. So I have forgotten about you. Honorable Ngun. Not Ngun, I beg your pardon. Ngun, yeah, I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon, sir.
Okay, I think what you're saying is correct. We see that within the department, somebody is telling a person to run because you know that that person cannot win the case. So my recommendation would be that if a person decides to resign to go to a conduct via the misconduct, that person should be charged criminally if there's evidence of the person. That case should not be left as it is because the person has decided to run away. I don't think it's fair for the department to also can't receive the money if ever it concerns whatever money that has been stolen. Thank you.
Crazy?
That is two questions. You said, this is question. As far as you know, nothing has changed.
Please tell the Baba so that you avoid, I'm sorry, not in fact.
On the 13th of August, as far as we know, nothing has changed. The original problem on which the presentation is specified is on the inability of the system to take care of the accident. Also on the question of the long outstanding payment, the number 81
is not. Thank you very much, sir. Sorry, any more?
I think it's about several things. What I wanted to say is that in the name of logic, we are dealing with our internal body, and we're still putting up some discrepancies, like elimination from the system not being able to come to the price of the system. So,
no? Okay, the call allow you guys. We wanted to wrap up what was said because there's some sort of respect to be released. I think Mr. Abram has asked a question, Commissioner, that you give us in writing the mandate of GITO. We are hoping that that mandate of GITO talks to what the AG is talking about, because LOGA is an in-house problem. It's an operational mandate.
No. No.
Yes, no, no?
No.
No.
From
so LOGA is also a department?
Yes. Not a department.
Not a department.
No.
That's why the
LOGA
is saying.
It is transversal.
No, no, we wanted to resolve this thing, so, yeah, no. All right. Okay. No, the answer is that it's not specific to correctional services. If there's a weakness, that weakness will be government-wide. That's what I'm understanding. That's all. Yes. So it's not a correctional services answer. So it means, I don't understand, AG, if you are qualifying us on local, why are you not qualifying others on local? I'm just saying that at one point, I'm going to raise this with you. Because some of us have been in SOPO for some time, we understand this. You can't say it affects everybody, and other departments get clean orders, and we get qualified on that point. So I'm saying it's something that I will raise with you specifically at some point. Sipuni Varma and ladies. Sipuni, you want to say something before you leave? You want to say something? Okay, we'll allow Sita, we'll allow DCS, and from our side, thank you very much, Sita. Mr. Villegas, we'll see you in 2 months' time. But if needs be, we can see you before that. But let's allow you the last word, and then allow Commissioner the last word, and then you are free to go.
Just a factual correction, Chair, in response to the question that has been raised. As our chairperson has explained, we are committed to resolving this issue. It's not us who initiated the legal action. It's TD, it's the third party. And we are trying very hard to ensure that there's an amicable resolution between the three parties. That's what I wanted to say.
And you take a lot of Michelle's points.
Yeah.
I know Uderi Vilagazi does the thing very well. You see, we can't save him. We must save them in today's. If you want to do business with government, you better show the line. Because that's what you do in your business plan. And that's what I do in my business, and you do in your business anywhere else. We can't have these people holding us at ransom in DPS and then taking millions of rand somewhere else. We can't allow this to happen. And I'm saying, let's say it. If you can't say it, I'll tell them, you know. All right. Thank you very much once more. Can we allow a 2 minute break and then DCS will join us? And we'll deal with the second part. A 3 minute break and we'll see that. Thank you very much. Baba? Oh, hey, somebody has left a... Oh. Good morning.
We are dealing with the financials for the year ended 30th of 31st of December. Normally the audit committee is here. Welcome to the audit committee. I never recognized them earlier on. AG is here. As indicated, we didn't expect Treasury to be here today. And the department is here. So, and we have the presentation. Members should have had the presentation from the department. We're hoping to be out of here by 12:30. We will try and reschedule matters we've not dealt with for next week. So can we, having welcomed everybody, hand over to you, Commissioner, for your presentation. And once you've done your presentation, as usual, we'll open it up to members to raise concerns, questions, comments, or any matter. Over to you, Commissioner.
Thank you, Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee. And we want to thank you for a robust discussion in the previous meeting to give a situational analysis of what has transpired. We want, therefore, to take this opportunity to do our... expenditure for the period ending the 31st of December. I'll therefore ask the acting chief financial officer to give us a presentation and therefore give a sense as to how our expenditure pattern has evolved over the past 3 quarters. Thank you very much, Chair.
That's why
so
we will be outlining to the committee the state of expenditure from the department for the period ending 31st September in the 21st quarter of the financial year. And out of the adjusted appropriation of the department of 17.7 billion, at the end of December, the department has actually spent 10.5 billion. And we translate to 70.43% of the amount that has been appropriately spent at the end of December. And in terms of what we plan to spend as a department, as members of the court, that the KSMA requires that every February we submit to National Treasury our projections of how long we spend the money that are appropriated. And we have claimed that by end of December, the department will spend 3.89%. As I've indicated, out of that, we actually spend 3.43%, meaning that we remember that we fell short of our plan by 3.46% of our plan. And mainly, at the program level, the main issues that contributed to us not meeting those plans at the overall total of 2.46%, though very, the 2.46% is the net effect at national level, but at program level it differs from program to program, it is and also an economic classification level, it differs from economic classification to the next one. Program administration was claimed that it entered in 7%, and we actually spent 74.8%. And mainly because of the IT infrastructure acquisition thereof that we had some delays in that regard. And also the net, also we had an issue around the property payment for municipal services, where we are actually overspending. Members recall that in terms of the CIX that we normally get on average for goods and services, it was on about 5.5% that's in our baseline. But when you look at the municipality services, ranges between 10 and 17%. So effectively the impact of that is that we
we need therefore in putting the intermunicipal services have got to take some money to be able to pay the concurrent municipalizing public works, they pay the municipalities and they get the fund from the department. So that's one part that we have been engaged in the share of the order. We did get some additional allocation, but it was not enough to be able to use the CPI as an abnormal increase from the electricity. On program incarceration, we had sent Benzin to 2.8% and we actually sent Benzin to 1%. And mainly it is the youth payments and contractors that we have been working on and also the building of the public work program. And on program rehabilitation, we have actually sent Benzin to 5%, actual expenditure was sitting at 52%, and mainly under equipment, the equipment that recently was procured, the delays in the procurement, and also in Western Cape, the two regions, and the critical equipment that we need for our agricultural site, the irrigation equipment, the other one, that was for Kirkwood, they were delayed, and the other one, the service provider, the part of that mission that they're importing. So the delays depend on the actual delivery to the hub, but on making follow-up, we assured that during the end of the month by Thursday, the other part that the service provider has imported will be in our show and on program care, we have planned to spend 4.99% and we actually love it of 1%. But program care only, honorable chair, we need to align the program one because as member of the call, we're working on a warehouse system. And program care, that's where nutrition is, that's where your medical supplies are buying bulk, we put it still. And the still issue, then the issue to then the pharmacists, the issue to our nutrients and all of that. So that current part, because of can be used normally, we find that program administration is indicated that then you see that on the inventory, like why over the same, on the best stage program care. The program care then will care on those main pieces of hygiene and also medical supplies as they are understanding. But when you get that, oh, you normally will be able to see in actual case the condition level, how we in terms of for a particular period. So we always have timing differences on month to month, but at the end of the financial year, then we need a reconciled version that will be in the future. On program social intervention in our program, we have spent the same 5%, we spent 56%, and then there we still have issues of vacancies. Also a lower expected expenditure on our office accommodation and also on goods and services. We did follow up office accommodation one is part of the work. What we picked up is that they have provided the bills to the department for the rental of offices, but in actual fact, when they then categorized that, they put it under one, so we had them to which is the evidence in the last order. We then penalize that with generalized that between program administration for office accommodation and program social intervention. But all in all, on that one, we normally don't have problems with hardware. That's one aspect that we have to bring up the total bill for a financial year. It's just that the book classification they didn't do is proper for the first quarter, which is the program social intervention. I think economic classification level checkers on condensation of employees. And we extend that we're going to spend 4%, we actually spend 73%. And there is an improvement that is considerable. If you look at our funded vacancies, which are at 41,911, and to the end of December, out of the 41,911, 911 posts, 41,411 posts have been filled by the department. But we definitely know that in terms of what is permanent and those that are additional to the establishment. So if you look at the vacancy level of the department, it is below the normal 5% vacancy level, which is for the continent of the number of years, we are not able to accomplish that target. But for now, we can expect that we increase, not that we say it is good or bad, but much attrition will always be there. So we're just managing that to be able to be under 5% of the total. In terms of goods and services, tend to spend 74%, which has been 73%, and I've indicated that for the mispayment and also the contractors. Transfers and subsidies, we tend to spend 67%, we spend 69%. It is mainly the lease gratuity of members that have exited the system, which is not all that should be used yet. And resignation to anomalous resignation or retirement. Retirement, we can safely project that we were able to
requested a projection from this system for the next 12 months. These missions are in the difficult for us to take. And nobody supports this. In terms of the case, and if you put money there as accountable, you can't take all the money, you can't do anything. So normally we take the project and just put a small margin for the resignation and death. And then later on, if those cases become more than what it's paid for, we would normally then cause the third initiative that allows the accounting officer to shift towards all compensation, from compensation to employee for the equity strategies of the market and business. The last one, Chairperson, is the payment for capital assets. We have spent 4%, we spent 25%, there's two aspects of the equipment part that are dedicated for IT infrastructure for the agricultural equipment for the two, everything that I've mentioned before, and the other features for the normal public work program that we have as a department.
Thank you very much. Inter, do you want to say something or not?
No.
Hey, do you want to say something or not before we open it up for comments? We need some comments from your highest team.
Thank you, sir. What I can say is that the department must have watched it to finish for the end of the year, the end of March. Perhaps it's not unfriendly.
Okay, well, I'll get for members. Any member wants to, let's take Mr. Max, because he's not broke at all, which is very surprising for... No, I'm kidding, but Max, Zhou Wu, Nguyenia, and Barakwen.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to know, first of all, Chair, request. Which is not part of the thing, is that I request that... that the commissioner addressed us on the issue of inform us of what we are hearing on radio and TV with regards to the government tech there. To inform us that we can be informative. That is the one point. Secondly,
talking about the recent
saving in the government.
Okay.
Okay, but with regards to this presentation, I just want to know, as indicated by the IG, there's 1 month left. How is it possible that you will, you know, meet your expenditure target within 1 month?
Before you, I'll allow you to continue, let me just, so that we don't have unnecessary discussion. These figures are up to the end of December.
December, okay.
Yeah,
that's all
explained.
Your program rehabilitation. You mentioned in unfilled courts and workshops and agricultural equipment. As you are aware, we are fighting for artisans, Commissioner. For years. Artisans, your nurses and psychologists. While you were understanding them, what is the position to fill those positions? Because it's critical. And the other thing is, that we visited just last week, and you know for a fact that you people provided budget for JIP. JIP was now additional positions which has been granted, but they can't fill them because of the budget constraints. We were also informed that there was no increase in that particular budget. What is your view, what is your intention with regard to that particular, to empower JIP to conduct the oversight, as they are mandated to. So, yeah, and then, you are aware with regards to the program remuneration, I think, employee compensation. There were outstanding arbitrations and disputes where you actually, I think, took government arbitration awards on review with regard to Group 2, I think, of 2008. What is the situation with regard to that, given the fact that there was an underspending on this particular item?
Thank you very much. Bahman Dobu?
Chairperson, thank you very much. First, Chairperson, thank you for the presentation. Let us go through programs. The Care One. it's underfunding. How can you be underfunding, Chairperson, when we talk about the program of care? Because that's the core of the department. It goes together with the layer. If it's understanding, that's the core of the department. How can it run understanding? But when it comes to conversation today, transfer and subsidies, and it's overstanding for this gratuity, payment due to the service termination of the department. That means the people are living in the department get everything up most of the time. But the people who are supposed to be doing the job inside the department don't get it doesn't make sense. I'm trying to get the understanding of how the core of the department is understanding. But the people who are living in the department it's very easy to get everything what they want. I hope I'm understood what I'm trying to say. Thank you very much, Chair.
From Gwenya.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, my question is on an employee as a result of unfilled post. Chairperson, I'm worried about that because each and every center that we visited, there's a challenge of shortage of staff. Meanwhile, we've got posts that Chairperson is funded, but those posts Chair is not a thing. So I'm worried about that. I think I want to know from the department too that when are they going to fill this? So that when we go to oversight, we must get a report that says there's this challenge because there's a shortage of staff. The inmates are not eating 3 times because there's a shortage of staff. Meanwhile, they are. Meanwhile, the police checkers, they are fired. What is the challenge from them? Make them not unfit. Same checkers in the social integration is the same question, Chair. Why these vacant checkers are not safe? What is the challenge? We're expecting the department to say to us, we didn't fill this phone because there was no budget and the phone was not funded. But now the challenge that I'm getting is that the vacancy has been funded, but is not in terms of other things that the department in the station, I think the department is doing very well. I think we can work at more colorful than the social people who are not high currently involved. Then I wanted to know about the fans to be filled in the position of the CFO. We've been told that since the president said we need to fill vacancies in criminal justice, and we've been told that it will be the CFO will to attend. When is that post going to be filled? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's take Baba Kuele, then follow Polisso and Duveni.
No, thanks, Chairperson. I'll start by commenting about this understanding. This understanding is of great concern, and I don't know whether we do have a plan to be in this. Because if we don't, I don't have having a qualified and unqualified record from the AG. Then secondly, I wanted to check from the department, if you talk of the machinery and the equipment, where do we order these things? Do we order them from overseas? Because you say that we don't get them timely, and therefore this contributes to this understanding. Because it does affect the work of the department, particularly in the European inmates, where they are not doing anything that's specific. can I explain to us where do you really report that this document?
Thank you so much, Baba.
Thank you, Jefferson. Mine is on program care because I am now the honorable member that talked about rehabilitation. It's a concern when we understand in program care. I can imagine when the Human Rights Commission goes to a visit in correctional center. Because here a clear reason is eventually for medical suppliers and personnel hygiene, resulting from the slow clearing of store items used to this program can't be a reason for understanding. Understanding means less service delivery. Program care is working with the soul of these aggressive, very aggressive people to rehabilitate them, to bring them back to their senses. Although we see on TV, on morning life, that psychologists in correctional center is caught red-handed, having sex with an inmate. Yeah, you love morning life.
Yeah.
Yeah. While we get a report that shows us, yes, we have stopped. That shows us that the problem cares. Hearing the report can be a reason for understanding. It's unacceptable. We want to correct society. Correctional centers are overcrowded. We can't say this, we will accept that there is a slow clearing of thought. No, this can't be a reason. Some problem, this is the problem of DCS. It's our officials that are working with the problem. So there can't be a reason, and even put on paper that it is a reasonable reason. It's unacceptable. I need an explanation for this.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm also very worried about the understanding. And in most, almost all the programs, not all, the understanding is owed to the lower standing on compensation of employees. I don't understand why is this. Whereas the employees or the officials are complaining about the unpaid overtime, that it is low due. Why are they not giving that money? Or it was not budgeted for the first financial day, when are they going to be given? Because in the head last time, like, they are very much demoralized because of that money. Mm-hmm. When is it going to pay? Please just give us a definite date where everybody will be getting whatever that is to him or her. The second one is on the status quo of the department regarding equity and gender. So I have seen on the report that you are saying we have filled most of the four posts that are vacant, but we have filled them mostly, I think over 70 with men. What is going on? Current status on top management and senior management, what is the current status? Because we know about the existing policy and gender. So I want to know what people about. No.
All right, everybody seems to have a guide. The first guide, Commissioner, to you and your team. You can respond any order, but we try to list the questions. We'll remind you of those that you forgot to run.
Thanks, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I might not go in the order the question has been asked. In terms of rehabilitation, indeed, and the skills as mentioned, two departments are to us also critical skills, be it artisans, be it psychologists, be it cervical, be it nurses. Those are critical skills. And without maybe stopping as if we are making excuses, but that's the reality that we are facing as a department, and not only as a department, but as a country. As much as we'd like to have all our different posts filled, all our cervical skills, and for the money there, the posts are there, they're fully funded, they're created on the system, but when you then advertise those things, the pharmacist, whatever critical posts are there that are going to assist the department in terms of regulating the rehabilitation program, you do not get from the market, when you say market, from the response of that external advert.
you do not get the necessary response that you are anticipating. And again, the generally the biasness of the labor market towards cities. So you find that you get some applications, if ever it's a post that you can do in Johannesburg, in Pretoria, in Durban, in Western Cape, in Cape Town. But the more rural you go, the deeper the problem and the less attractive, if I may put it like a glancy, that your address is appealing. So for the shortage out there, it's not only PCS, communicate to your health colleagues, they are still facing the same problem. Yes, the department has embarked on many initiatives to be able to try and deal with the situation. We have partnership with the Department of Health when it comes to pharmacists, when it comes to psychologists, that when they finish their academic year, for them, they need to put us, we normally give them the number of posts that we have, so they can come and set their internship within our environment. And some of them indeed, through that internship program, they then kind of become interested and then would apply. And also the initiative of headhunting, we some of them do come but find that we can't retain them. They were competing with the private sector and the skills, and then they would leave the department maybe in a period that was not even anticipated, and then go and apply elsewhere. So we do have the money, we do try to embark on many initiatives together with the department, but especially for the health professionals, but it is not entirely at times solely dependent on us to make a positive response in terms of those professions as well. Where after serving the internship, those pharmacists, those medical practitioners would remain with the department and continue to serve the public in our own environment.
Chair, may I say something especially on this one, which is very and important to the members of the committee. The issue of the self skills that she mentioned here, and we have seen in the benchmarking that we've done with the minister, that most countries, for us to be able to retain the doctors, the nurses, psychologists, social workers, these are skills that are transversal to the state. A country like Cuba, a country like Brazil, what they have done in order to maintain and retain these skills is that the state is responsible for the maintenance of health facilities in all these centers. The state is responsible for building of clinics and hospitals in these facilities. Because the health of the state, of the patients, the health of the nationals depend on the state ability to provide services. The same applies in Brazil. What was very interesting in Brazil is that there was a huge budget, which was an incentive for teachers not only to go into schools, to come and work. Correctional facilities. There was a bonus, there was a carrot, because if they work for 8 hours in a school and they have additional hours they can spend in a correctional facility, there was an incentive for that. We think and we propose that if we can look into some of these examples, because the memorandum of understanding and agreement that we might have with the Department of Health, they can go to a certain extent, as she has indicated, that we ask for what you call internships. The internships will only be like a band-aid solution, but will not be in a position to retain them because they are paid better in the Department of Health than we do. Because we pay them according to the Correctional Services Act, and they are paid in a different dispensation. So we are saying there is a need for us to have a holistic approach as government. But the issues of health, education, and other things that are transversal, that the state must start looking at it. We are discussing it within the cluster, that we need to be able to have all these functions that are there. We're competing with everybody. We're competing with the Department of Education. We're competing with health. Our nurses are leaving our country. We've seen in the newspaper that the state has tried to send young men and women to Cuba in order to deal with the shortages that we have as a country. Not that we as a department have taken an ostrich approach to say there's no ability on the country. We find everything possible. Hence, this particular aspect is attended with a vigor that it deserves. So we try, and of course, we will be able to retain them. The intentions are there, but the testing of the point is when people stay. The staying power of those that we employ.
Mr. Mokwena, you want to talk about vacancies?
Yes, Chairperson.
Thank you. Before you speak, let me remind you that there was also the question of vacancies in JICS, the vacancy of the CFO, also that we just finish up these things of vacancies.
Yes. Let me quickly address the issue of the senior vacancies were advertised, including that of the CFO, in December already.
we are in the process of compiling the, in fact, the process have begun, the panels have been appointed, and all that remains is the panels to sit down, go through, and conduct the next shortly. So that is as far as the senior position, which landed close on the 28th of December last year. But as far as the issue of this is concerned...
Sorry. Now you're reminding me, because I don't know how the members received it. I'm still sending it. You know there was a toy with your members saying that you advertised in December they were all on leave and or away. Were, are you aware that there was that type of a concern? If you were aware, have you addressed it? The concern that they raised was you advertised in December they're either on leave or they're away, and they were therefore not able to apply, and accusing you of selectively disadvantaging them. I'm just raising it, rather than raising the disadvantage issue. If you're not aware of it, we will give a copy of that letter.
Yeah. The question I'm aware of.
Oh, okay.
In this, you know, one looked at that query rather with disbelief, because in the main, people that correctional services in the centers do not close in December. And people that go on leave in the main are people that are sitting at corporate. So by trying to quell that issue, we then decided to re-advertise some of those positions. Of course, doing that on the basis, with a clear understanding of the inherent risk, that the numbers of people that would apply, and I, to the people that were raising this thing, I said, better than the best here is in the taste of the pudding, as it were. Let us look at the number of applications that were submitted. Because for me, it would disprove the notion that we advertise when people are on leave. And we can prepare the best for the committee and as well for in respect of that. Perhaps just to add on the issue of educators that and social workers that Commissioner raised, we've had meetings even yesterday with the Department of Public Service and Administration. One of the serious challenges is around the OSD for correctional officials. Chairperson and honorable members of the committee, if we grant a salary, to cite an example, if we grant a salary to a correctional official to study as a social worker, the OSD implementation directive states that if that member was earning 10 grand per annum and the entry level of social work is 5 grand, that member has made a deliberate choice and the member has to earn 5 grand. Now, in this day, that is the reality that we're dealing with. Now, in this day and age, who would forego that standard of living? So we have social workers, members of the committee, who are guarding gates, because they are saying, well, I would rather then seek to guard the gates with my social work qualification that you as a state have paid for. So it's a double dipping that actually then helps the state, not only us. As far as educators are concerned, we have in fact a draft document that was prepared by DPSA given to us yesterday, where in which we are saying that the conditions that an educator, for us an educator, irrespective of where they operate, in fact, we would even go as far as saying an educator that works in the correctional center perhaps spends or pay more premium on the basis of the challenges that they are operating in. But to be an educator outside, you earn much more than if you are a correctional official. And as far as 2009, the then Minister, Mr. Magula, wrote a letter requesting that this educator resolution 2 of 2009 be extended to us. Only yesterday we got a draft copy of where finally DSA is saying they may consider extending this thing to ourselves. So that is a challenge. On the issue raised by Honorable Lesmax around applications and awards, on the 11th of February, the Minister hosted a ministerial council, consultation forum with organized labor. Flowing from there, there is a task team comprising of organized labor and members of management to look at a number of HR issues or ER matters, including arbitration. The report is expected on the 15th by the Minister of March in terms of how we're going to deal with some of these things. They relate to the issue of 7-day establishment, they relate to the issue of the shift spending, the number of awards that have been issued against the organization, and what response are we going to give them. As we speak in terms of some of the measures to deal with the staff shortages, is that when the learners, ordinarily members of the committee, when we appoint learners, we are expected to release them at the end of 12 months, when the learnership has been completed. But the department took a deliberate decision to retain them on a contract position. A, because of the security risk that you have taught people how to shoot, you are now releasing them. And in fact, you are recruiting now for the private security environment.
CTM reports that from tomorrow we'll be appointing 654 of those learners. Based on the number of vacancies that have arisen due to attrition. So which is what the commitment gave to the committee previously, that instead of releasing them, we would retain those the learners and set the attrition rate. We have 1,006 learners versus the 654 vacancies that have arisen. The intention is to appoint them effective from 1st of March. Not going through interviews, but looking at the initial recruitment results. The group two, we have concluded an audit on group two in terms of what we need to do. We have also sought legal opinion. It's one of those issues where there is an award that was issued against the organization, and as such, it's a legal matter, but we have not adopted the sub judice approach. Our current estimations are that we need 104 million to pay close to 900 of these group two officials. But once we have obtained the land service approval, we will then, based on the legal opinion, we will decide whether we pay that money or not to group two.
What is the legal opinion?
Well, we have not received the legal opinion. The same approach we've adopted with control room operators who are currently sitting idle in the control room. We have taken a deliberate decision to send the control room operators to college. So that it's approximately 500 of those, so that we can then augment the numbers within our centers, because everything they are basically sitting college, sitting idle, you know, because the systems are dormant, as it were. And I would stop for now.
All
right. Honourable Chair, in terms of the other questions that have been raised, the issue of JICS, we fully understand the importance of the role that the office plays, and we do respect it. And the issue was discussed between the executive management of the department and the staff together with the CEO with regard to their budget. But also, I think we maybe have to provide some analysis of to the committee of how the budget has grown from the past. What was also explained to the Honourable Judge was the general fiscal outlook and economic outlook of the country is not only for the department in personnel, in terms of what the cabinet approved that comes to the department, but the pledges are not increased. That on its own would impact on all of us, but that would come as the cabinet resolution. So that was it myself has chosen maybe to set this issue when we come before the committee for the 13-14 budget strategy, maybe to raise it again, as it might be said in that forum to come and say this is what has happened and this is what we have. And the issue of unfunded posts, I think also we can sing the same song that maybe is singing that. Sitting here, all of us, you know that functionally, for me to function and be able to carry on the mandate that was given from in branch finance, this is the structure that I would call a functional structure. Yes, I have that, and it's there on paper, but if resources are not there, the financial resources, that I cannot start with the city commission, it's either there or nothing, but we will operate within that same bigger basket.
The issue of JICS, there was a discussion as to whether the independence of JICS is dependent on budget allocation that they get from the state. I think that is an issue that the committee may want to raise with the executive authority. For us as correctional services, from where we are operating, we don't see it as a constraint. But if they see as if they are able to execute the mandate because they're linked to us, a dealing is not a problem that we have. Appropriate measures and processes have to be followed so it can be funded from a different source, whether it's from the judiciary or from any other government department, or they become chapter 9. Because it is important that we have an honest relationship with an institution of the nature of the chief. Because for us to be argument whether they are unable to do their work, that is because the messages are controlled by us, it may send a wrong message. And therefore we are willing and open on this matter. But we want to put it on record that the JICS are under no ownership from us. They operate in the manner in which they want to,
we only interact on the basis of the report that they have. We might have disputes in the manner in which the report is coached or the report has been provided, but we want to put it to the committee that the independence of the JICS for us is not an issue out there. We want to see as if we are constraining them in terms of, in fact, the common element that helps us to see where we are able to execute our task or where the meetings are conducted. Certainly, we would appreciate this. But we want to say to the committee that we want to control that independent organization and they do their work in accordance with the mandate of their establishment.
The other question was the issue of whether we importing equipment that we utilize in our workshops or in our agricultural etc. We do not directly import. So when we sell out a bit outside to the market, then the market responds and a company would say yes, I'm able to deliver. But then in terms of the what we call the FPT form for declaration of content, there's some issues that the country does not produce certain parts. That as much as some parts are within the country, that those that will indicate that for me the particular part I imported from Israel or whatever country. So that then will be impact on the delivery of the whole, especially for the shop, and this is not something that will be peculiar to the sales. In education, in technical colleges, we have the same thing. There are machines that would know this is education that those Israelis, the master in terms of manufacturing those type of huge equipment. So we do have those challenges. And unfortunately, in that instance, you would plan for the example, if I deliver a product, it's so many days for me to get this national and issue an order, you sign a contract, but then because there's an element that has been imported, then you are kind of now outside the total control. But what you normally do then is to check that correctly and for the service provider to in writing indicate when they see that it has left the shop of whatever country to en route to South Africa, especially those that are shipped to the divisional, then what normally need the bills that we pay to prove that it has left that and then an assurance of estimated time on arrival. So that one we something that the commitment that was given by the end of this month shall be able to have that given. And our target then was to take to the region. By the third week of March, late second week of March, that expenditure should have been done. In other words, pay the service provider, but we don't carry that commitment to the new financial. So we are taking interest in that one. On the issue of
Monica, before you carry on that one. You know, I think Mr. Benya must be given the list of outstanding. I'll tell you why. As at the end of March, machinery, you spend less than 20% of your budget. Less than 20% of your budget. What's going to happen with the player? In this last 2 months, they will spend 80% of their budget. Now, if you are saying it's because of waivers or whatever, when you give him the list, you'll be able to see what if we order this thing in January, it's December, we're still waiting for it. Because for 3/4 of the year, if you spend less than 20% on machinery, then it's a problem. You know, you can give an indication that what is the type of machinery, because if Kosaki hears that you're buying screws from China, for instance, I'm just using an example, I'm trying to understand what are we ordering outside, when we should be DEEing these type of things. These things are reported by DEE people, so when you guys come and give answers, understand that some of us have been challenged with answers, because you should be hiring these things from the guy in last. I'm not hiring if I'm from Cape Town or from China. If you are Western, what about the local content? So give us that list of what makes you spend less than 20% by the end of December. Just for your own purposes, what I was saying. The budget was 230 million. They've only spent 40 million, 46 million. You know, it's a lot of money for job creation to lots of people. Lots of money for job creation to lots of people out there that are making this machinery and inside for our warders, or not our warders, our inmates, our offenders. So on that one, we should like to give us some more feedback now. You can carry on with the rest.
One issue that we want to respond to is to talk about the package.
Yeah. Okay. For the sake of speed, let me remind you the ones that you've not raised. Equity is one of them. Also, YK is underspending St. Albans and exactly when are you going to pay unpaid deeds due to people, if indeed it's due to people. Oh, I'm not sure if you've answered that one, but that was the question, right? So it's the serving of St. Albans. Just give us clarity, YK, if you underspend. unpaid overtime and the equity issue. Let's say that. In any order.
Thanks, Chair. The issue of equity, I can support clarity that the complexion of care management here is more women than men at the highest level. There are 5 women, especially at CDC's level, 5 women and 3 men. So if we were to cascade it to director level, also the complexion is changing. So indeed, if we are to look at care management, the department is compliant between the band.
Maybe to share information quickly on the St. Albans matter. Yes, indeed. Yesterday there was an incident at the St. Albans Maximum where 3 of our officials were attacked by 2 offenders. This happened during the counting and serving of breakfast. And these offenders were from a unit that houses 43 offenders. All 3 staff members were taken to the hospital yesterday. They were treated and discharged. One had laceration on the forehead, the other one on the head and the arm, and the other one was just bruised, eye bruise and some bruises on the body. The members are currently discharged and booked off, and the reasons for the assault and the stabbing are not yet known. The regional commissioner went there personally yesterday, and he will be meeting with those members this morning, because yesterday the focus was on them getting medical attention, and therefore we'll be receiving a report from the regional commissioner later today.
The last in terms of care, we had indicated the reason for our expenditure, which is the reality. So the same in terms of decision, we don't buy as when we need some items, other than that will forever increase management. We do project and then buy in bulk. Rations we buy in bulk. Medical supplies we also buy in bulk. Consumables like the toothpaste or hygiene materials, toilet, all those things buy in bulk. Now when you buy in bulk, stores are under administration, but when you buy in bulk, based on estimates, but we are not sure in terms of as and when and the in-month or in-year utilization. So what happens is that the operations and the nutrition services is in requisition, with careful acquisition, and the issue, the qualities as they need, and all the toothpaste, all the consumables. So if for a particular center requires so many quality of toothpaste, so many quantities of bathrooms and all of that for inmates, then careful acquisition, like a normal warehouse, and then when we capture it, so what happens is an accounting issue. You've got this bulk buying in bulk, you spend, and then as and when they requisition for utilization, that's where then the care program will realize what actually we spend pay for that particular item for the image. That's how we account for that. So now, when for time delays, we can clearance now of these items. It's not that as a department we haven't spent, as a department now nationally, but it's just that as care program, we have not done the transaction of actually saying that so many toothpaste equal to 2 million to program care for consumers for hygiene purposes. So that part that we normally was to bring to the attention of members and not have it, so it's a very different accounting issue, but at the same time, we normally oppose that to administration program of inventory. So that's why you see, if you talk administration inventory, we say administration inventory, there's a pressure. But a care program, due to administration, it is this less spend, but when we then do a clearance, that way then you're able to say this is how much equity program care has been able to utilize. But that's the reason normally that we provide. At the end of the financial year, we build them nationally with the family differences, which are much always the family differences. But at the end of the financial year, we cannot come to you, Chairman, to the government to talk about family differences, because that's the end of an account. We do it nationally, therefore what we show under care will be the actual consumption that the program is using. It's for medical supplies, it's for hygiene materials, it's for rations for the inmate in the department. So basically, that's the clarity that we get to provide. In the only, it does become an issue. And again, remember, your 10-year clearance is also based on the availability of our staff members. So some of the staff members are currently doing dual roles of security and also at some intervals coming to the service in terms of the aspects of clearing those infrastructure.
We want to wrap up, so I know you, Mr. Mukwena. Let's take Luenya and Matt. And Ngunguni, and then we will wrap it up. Not Ngunguni, I beg your pardon. Ngubeni, I beg your pardon. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you for the explanation. Chairperson, out of this explanation in terms of the unemployment, Chairperson, or affecting the profession, I want to say, Chair, the department may be on our next meeting. They must come up with something that is going to affect. You remember last meeting, Chair, I was talking about the low salary of our food soldiers that is causing a problem in DCS. If we've got a security in the DCS, that is any less than the security established in the police station, what are we expecting in this country? Chairperson, I still feel that even us in Parliament, we are not taking correctional service with us. Chair, we cannot have the staff that is looking after the criminals getting less color and expect that DCS is going to deliver effectively. I think that one needs to be discussed balanced. Because members have talked about overtime on the rural area. That money care was supposed to be paid long time ago. But even now, this money is not yet paid today. And now we want professionals to come to our CCS. Meanwhile, we are not paying people. I want the issue of professional service to be looked at. And we as this committee chair, we cannot have something, maybe we can assist the department. Because the parliament chair doesn't want us to go outside. I'll put it like that. Commissioner talked about other countries like Cuba, Brazil, but we can't even support him because we as a committee, we never gave that chance to go out and experience what other centers doing outside the country. So we've got a challenge, Chairperson, on the this end to say we're working together, we're assisting one another, we want to improve security in our center. Meanwhile, we as members of parliament, we are not taking the test. Meanwhile, the food from the Chairperson are not taken to that. People who are looking for winning in the center, who have seen people outside or rape or whatever, that person got stressed and all that. And myself who are looking this person in the center, I'm not earning that something that is satisfying me. Something wrong here in our act in terms of paying the staff of correctional service. I don't know how to put this person. But maybe as a class, the commissioner must try to get away to for the correctional service to be paid a if I may. You cannot ban the umuntu on a million outside. I'm going to win over the 500 a month and expect the person cannot do its matter inside in the bed. We need to look at those things. That to attract the nurses, the teachers, the doctors, correctional service to pay. None of the students are even getting me into the person I even want. So, let us look at that. Policies are spending more than correctional service. If you can go to stop and ask the policies of the government, how much getting? For him to put the young man in and be a part of the court. is any more than the members that are doing work inside in our tent. Let us look at that. What was making a department endless, especially the useless department? Even us, they are taking us as a useless people that cannot go outside in the country to assist this department to change. Unless we do that, Jefferson, we are not going to stop to think about attracting professionals, because we are running away from the thing. Thinking and that is telling me, oh doctor, who is the professional service, who finally ma call and on, whoever ma professional, they can't earn a matinal and expect them that they are going to learn is what they are gonna achieve. Can't be, Jefferson. For us to get this doctor, if you see my work will affect about to be all or have a colour. Yeah.
Very short check. I just want to make a comment on the input of the National Commission with regards to equity. Equity, the Act, the Employment Equity Act, is broader than what you actually refer to as only one. Section 1 of the Act defines black people as inclusive African, colored, and Indian, and designated group include black people, women, and people with disabilities. So I just want to point out that when we talk and refer to equity, it is inclusive of all the people within the designated group. And with respect that your top management is not reflective in terms of the EEA. However, I am mindful that your policy is being challenged in the court of law, and we are waiting to see what is the outcome there. Thanks. I just want to say that equity is broader than
thank you, Chairperson. I think on that score I'm covered by compliment, because I think you know all the honourable member. I'm not answering the question of the compensation. What is it here? The backlog of the overtime maybe I can get that. Thank you.
Last round from the department, Mr. Mukwena, you want to say something?
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable members, the issue of overtime, the standard operating procedure that overtime is first sought in terms of approval before and then granted, and they had in the region at the highest level of NRC. We remember, we would recall that late last year there was an issue at the embassy where they had been outstanding overtime. That matter has been resolved, because from the head office point of view, we did send the HR practitioner to go and sit with the local management to look into the overtime claims that had been submitted. Because even locally, there were question marks that local management were raising about some of the claims that the official had submitted. We have paid those that are legitimate, and those that have not, were deemed not to be legitimate have not been paid. What we have also asked local management to do nationally is to say that when overtime claims are being submitted, and you find that out of the 10 claims, 6 of them are legitimate and 4 are not, do not hold back on the 4 on the entire 10. Proceed and pay the 10 and the 6, and then engage the officials in it, because there are instances where people claim overtime during lunchtime and say we were guarding or we're taking documents elsewhere. And if approval is not granted at local level, at central level, then it becomes very difficult for them to even release it. But what we are saying is that rather communicate with the official so that it does not look like there is collusion, and we just don't want to communicate that we can't pay you overtime.
Chairperson,
one
thing I'm answered. We're talking about the outstanding overtime that was approved by Parliament long time ago that it has to be paid to these people. We're not talking about Parliament. So I think there's a misunderstanding somewhere. Because whenever we visit this they complain about money that they're supposed to pay, to be paid some time ago. That's what we're talking about here.
Apologies, Chairperson. I think it's just myself who did not understand that. The issue of the overtime is a matter that is currently sitting with the Ministerial Consultative Forum. Its genesis started with the implementation of the 7-day establishment. And because we did not have an overtime regime in place, what has happened is that unofficially, people have been accumulating over time. And at last year, the amount stood at 1.3 billion. Now, it continues to accumulate because we don't have an averaging shift system in place. Now, the department, to its credit, has presented various shift models to organized labor to say, these are the shift models. But what organized labor is saying that we can't agree to that. We would want you to first settle the 1.3 billion overtime, which continues to accumulate each day. Now, in the task team, we have task team, like it says, on Friday, with organized labor. And we were saying, that task is not helpful to all of us, even you as organized labor. Because the longer you keep on stalling from agreeing on the shift pattern that we need as an organization, it means that the clock ticks as far as this overtime is concerned. We understand that it might be a technique on your heart, a negotiation technique on your heart, but it's akin to touching your nose to spite your face. Let us agree on the shift pattern so that we can then agree whether we reach a settlement on this amount of money. Because the 1.3 billion given the government priorities, and then also this issue around the evidential proof of this overtime that we're dealing with. But as I said, I would not want to go ahead and preempt the discussion. As I said, we met with organized labor conference last week already on Thursday, Friday, where this issue we've agreed to explore it further. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay.
We'll allow the AG and then we'll allow Audit if they want to say something. Just to say, Baba, I'm interested in what you're saying because we had a meeting with those two people, CSA and Cockrell, on this very matter. And the message that goes out to South Africa is that we're sitting with a potential litigation of 1.3 billion rand or whatever the case may be. That's what goes out our way. That this is a contingent happening. You are saying this thing is still under negotiation. So we just would need an update from you so that at least from our side, we understand what's going on. Because when they spoke to us, they spoke to us as if we went to court today, they will discuss it. And you will be liable for that. That's the impression that they sent out when we met with them. You are saying it's something that we're still discussing, so let's take it from there. But let's allow AG if you want to, and then for the committee, and then from our side, Commissioner, closing up, if you want to say something, you can say so afterwards. But from our side, thank you very much. AG, any matter that you want to raise?
I think there's nothing further from our side. I don't know.
I think we just have to separate the department from material.
Okay. Okay, understanding. That's right. Yes, ma'am.
I guess from our side, we continue to support the department and we're continuously checking the planning processes of the department. And at each and every committee meeting that we have, it is issues that we continuously discussing, and also looking at all the report items that have been raised by the AG, and in terms of what are the action plans being taken by the department. And I must say, at this point in time, the department, we have been happy of the department doing its best in terms of looking at their problems. And the majority of those are coming from the way they are organizationally structured, and I believe that when they are doing the 2013-2014 budget, they are looking at reviewing those organizational structures that are creating challenges. Thank you.
Commissioner?
Just to thank the committee for the constructive intervention, and we thank you for having had the discussion this morning. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Members, next week we will start with our minutes and our reports. I think there's probably the instance of minutes that Cindy will give today as before. And we'll be dealing with tech planning next week. We'll also have a in-house discussion on our operations of chicks before we talk to chicks next week. Thank you very much, and guests and friends, thank you.
I'm going to go to the hospital.
No.